901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Bonaducci, hey, Bonaducci not here yet. Well, he's here. He had to run out to his car. Passed him in the parking lot. T, looking good, baby doll.
Thank you. You too, Adam.
Bald Brian, how say you? Good touch?
Danny is not smoking.
No, he's not. He left something in his duffel bag, and he had to run out. Not technically late.
Right, he's
although,
here.
No difference between showing up and leaving.
De facto, really. He's just not here.
He's just not here. All right, well, let's talk about a few
let's talk
things.
About him.
Well, you want to talk about Danny?
Yeah.
Last thing I watched last night was a Partridge Family bio on the Bio Channel.
Oh, you saw the bio?
Yeah, I did.
No,
I love that stuff. I've seen it before, but it's now surreal,
right,
almost to watch it. But it was cool. And yeah, you forget. And somebody, I think it was, they were interviewing Paula Poundstone, comedian.
That's interesting.
And she said...
Those accusations were dropped.
She said that...
Dude, that's the nicest, craziest chick in the world.
Yes, she's deeply, deeply troubled. She said that, you know, the Brady Bunch was just so much Americana fluff. I mean, it's a Twinkie. It's not a dessert. It's not good. It's not whatever. It's just sort of familiar. It's like comfort food.
Right.
But no one ever mistook it for a good sitcom. But the Partridge Family was really funny, was a funny show. And I always felt the exact same way, because I guess the Partridge Family and the Brady Bunch oftentimes got mentioned in the same breath. And the
yes.
Brady Bunch, it's one of these things, it's actually something that's wrong with our culture. Or maybe
thanks,
it's
buddy.
Something that's right with our culture. I mean, maybe this is what makes our culture different. I don't know if other cultures have this, which is everyone recognizes that the Brady Bunch sucked.
Right.
It was not a well-written show at all. An entire episode would be like, you know, Greg gets a zit. Alice says far up instead of far out. Open, release the canned laughter, and let's get on to the end credits. I mean, it was, you know, I was nine watching that show thinking this show sucks ass, yet... It has been woven into the fabric of this country. I'm curious if Thailand has these kinds of things. You know, do other countries have things that are bad, that we recognize as bad? I mean, Brady Bunch on the whatever the spectrum of sitcoms are is probably somewhere beneath Caroline in the City.
Yeah, I'll
or
that.
Or like Suddenly Susan. I mean, Caroline in the City was probably a better crafted sitcom, but yet they got there first. Oh, Gilligan's Island.
I mean,
or
they got axed.
Or whatever.
Now, was that a real question about in other countries, do they have shows they know suck and just watch them?
Not only shows, things.
In Australia, there's a show called Neighbors,
mm-hmm.
and it's been on 22 years or something. And it sucks, and they know it sucks, and they make fun of it. But there's, until very recently, it was America TV-wise, 1970. They have five channels.
Mm-hmm.
So you just watch the shows that are on your television.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go like, well, this show's not that good. I think I'll go to channel 198.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I'll watch Neighbors or this other thing. So it's become kind of a running
she's
joke.
She's Australian, so we
yeah,
have the Miss Yellen.
I believe she started on that show.
Oh, really?
Neighbors.
Interesting.
Wow.
And by the way, if you want to know exactly if they have shows like The Partridge Family and Brady Bunch in other countries, that shows the Partridge Family and the Brady Bunch in the most bizarre. I get people who can't speak English, and their translator tells me that in Kiev,
mm-hmm.
they'd sit around and watch me. The whole family would sit around and watch me, sitting around so I'd watch the show, sitting around something warm.
Uh-huh.
Would TV with a lot of tinfoil.
Probably
on.
Hibachi.
Yeah.
We have, so first the compliment, which is the Partridge Family's far superior. I mean, it was a funny show. And then Danny... a fine comedic actor. Danny always says he can't act, but at 10, he could act, and he was funny, had good chops.
Yeah, great timing.
Him and Reuben and Kincaid, it was always, you know, it was always great comic relief. The show, everyone was good in their role, except for the two little ones. And it was it was a funny show, and I used to love to see Reuben Kincaid, the manager. I used to love to see his scalp move when he got upset. His whole hair would slide back like a sunroof and then come forward again. He could move his entire...
That was an actual technique. He did that.
He could pull his nose up to his forehead, and then the hair would go all the way down to the small of his back.
Screw method acting, if you can do that.
You can move...
That was method acting.
If you can have your whole hairline move when you're hearing some bad news from a 10-year-old, you deserve a Golden Globe.
What about the woman who played your mom? Wasn't she a very experienced actress with a lot of movies?
She's an Academy Award winner.
Yeah, Academy Award winner.
Elmer Gantry, I believe she won for. She was also the star of Oklahoma.
Mrs. Brady didn't have an Oscar.
No, and...
No, she most certainly wouldn't. And I think Mr. Brady did it with a guy named Oscar.
At least one.
There was an Oscar Mayer involved.
He stood out of Sam the Butcher, get a pound of rump, as I understand it.
Yeah, so a finely crafted show, one I wish would be syndicated more. I wish I could see it somewhere. I don't know where it's on right now. And lastly, then, what is the show? When our kids are in their 30s or 40s or whatever, what will be their Brady Bunch?
The Man Show.
Thank you. And can we have one anymore because we now have 500 channels? I don't know that we can have one anymore now that there's 500 channels. There's too many shows. There's too much going on.
What do you think was the last one then? I'm going to go with Friends.
Yeah, except for the thing about Friends...
And it's interesting.
Maybe the answers will have none. They'll have none. Friends was a funny sitcom. It wasn't as good as everyone said it was, but it wasn't bad enough or campy enough or something.
Oh, okay.
I think these things need to be not good. They need to be just right.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant like a show that even out of 500 channels... 30 years from now, this show will be remembered.
Like,
I'm doing two different interviews that concern the Partridge Family today. And I do it for the same reason I do all of this crap for free. So somebody will say, and you can hear it every morning on the Adam Carolla Show on 97.1. That's the moment I do it for. People, I'm 47. When you watched me last night, or one of you apparently watched me on, I was 10.
Yeah.
I have the vaguest idea why we're still talking. Not you and I.
Right.
I'm standing here.
Right.
But I'm going to real TV shows today to discuss nothing more than the Partridge Family and its lasting significance.
I think Saved by the Bell is going to be a show.
That was a horrible show that was very popular that a lot of people grew up with. And, yes, it's about comfort. There's comfort food, there's sort of comfort programming, there's comfort music. It's not that you claim this is the best, it's what you grew up with, right. It's what you're used to.
You were impressionable when you watched Danny Bonaducci, and the same with the kids who watched Saved by the Bell. Yeah. They already, at that age...
That's why I saw, although I happen to think Mario Lopez is incredibly handsome, and even though it's total lie and deceit, incredibly charming, the way women reacted to him, not in mass, I mean... Are you aware that two little girls died of heart attacks at David Cassidy concerts? One here, one in England?
I know. Well, the one in England got crushed, apparently. I remember that story. Yeah, just a throng and horde, and just like a 14-year-old girl. That's what kind of spun him out.
This was a big-ass deal. I mean, this was not, you know, David, you don't die. You go, wow, Brad Pitt, that's the coolest.
Weren't you telling me he had a bigger fan club than the Beatles and Elvis?
It is a combined. But here's the thing, and I guess I'm kind of changing the subject a little bit, but this is about David. This is what I think really spun David. He says it's the girls and a lot of the other things. I think what happened is he got confused. Yes, at a point in time, he was more popular than the Beatles and the Elvis combined, fan club wise.
Right.
What confused him was he thought he was as important as the Beatles or Elvis. Mm-hmm. And he became this long-winded, pompous Jim Morrison kind of listened to the
really?
Speak. Yeah, I was horrified. I mean, especially, it's worse now. Although Teresa said he was okay.
I just interviewed him. You know what's interesting? I think actually that he's kind of hurt that Danny won't return his call.
No, he's not. It's his bit. Danny's got a job. That's why that's when David Cassidy calls. Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh. This crap in the all beginning right. of my book, and I'm sick enough of this guy to outright him.
Okay.
Okay. Because I wrote a couple dull ass people in my book and made him interesting.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Married one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So with Cassidy, I wrote this whole thing about how I'm in trouble with the police and I'm going to go to jail. And David appears before the court and says, I'll watch him and I'll take care of him, Your Honor. And Danny, you got to stop being so crazy.
How old are you supposed to be?
I'm like 30, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my last arrest. I like to make that clear. I have not had a ticket in 17 years.
Well,
I'm a good talker.
Is ticket a kind of drug?
But you see what I mean? You see that right? It's so easy to make that reference. I've done any of that in almost 2 decades now.
Right.
I said the words. but it's something that follows you rather severely. So David didn't do any of that.
He never showed up to bail you out or anything.
No, he called me up. And he said, listen, he did say these. Danny, you're the funniest man in the world. You got to stop fooling around like this. Listen, I'm going on the road. Why don't you come be my opening act? Translation, I can't get booked on Good Morning Guam, and you're on the cover of every tabloid in the world, and the line of press outside your door might be helpful if David Cassidy and Danny Bonaducci hit the stage together. I wrote him this Big Brother, bail your ass out of story, I'll take care of your story. And he went with it until it became true. Well, the fact is, it's not true. The fact is, he called me because he couldn't get booked on Good Morning Buffalo. Well, and I could sell it out.
Well, he is the son of Jack Cassidy, who was a... By all rights, it seems to be sort of a blowhard actor. He was the last guy.
But cool.
Last guy to really pull off the kerchief around the neck.
Yep. Yes.
he had the handkerchief around the neck, and then he had.
Ascot.
He would wear the ascot, and he would do the handkerchief around the neck with that, that ring that you use to thread the napkin through at bad restaurants. And he'd pull that baby around and then pull it to about. 60 degrees to the south, southwest of his Adam's apple. And he had that sporty look, but I think he died...
In a fire.
In a fire. And, Cassidy probably got screwed up from the word go. But... We'll say this, you know, the teeny bopper stars back in the day, and this is 50s, 60s, 70s, even, you know, into the 80s, all those Tiger Beat kids and stuff like that, you think that because we didn't have the computer and because we only had three TV stations, it was a smaller world, thus these things weren't as big. It was a smaller world, thus they were bigger.
Bigger.
Yeah.
Because your kid grows up today... Your kid has a list of celebrities to pull from where you're into Justin Timberlake, are you into Akon, are you into a Gwen Stefani, are you into this actress, are you into this band?
You're better at this than I am, but how many of the world's 50 most beautiful people do you know when you open that magazine? I know like three.
Yeah, they're
never heard of.
They're all over the place, and whatever you're into, whatever band you're into, whatever type of music you're into, whatever type of show you're into. There's so many. There's probably 150 A-list teeny boppers at any given time. There's so many of them. They're sisters. There's Simpson sisters.
Duff.
There's Duff sisters. I mean, the list goes on and on. Well, back then, you had about three to choose from.
Right.
There was like David Cassidy and... Go ahead, Dave.
Well, there was David Cassidy, and right before or after that was Rick Springfield, but of nowhere near the juice.
After.
Yeah. Nowhere near the juice.
Leif Garrett was pretty big.
Again, not even a ballpark juice. Leif Garrett at his biggest could sell out the Greek 2-3 nights in a row. David Cassidy sold out Dodger Stadium 4 nights in a row.
So the point...
It's the biggest deal ever.
Point is I don't know that we'll ever, because it's, you know what it is? It's the same as ratings. It's going to be very difficult for shows to have another I Love Lucy where somebody's getting Super Bowl-type numbers every single week because there's 500 channels and people's interests are diverse. Back then, they were all focused toward one thing, David Cassidy, so I'm sure that drove him almost off the deep end. But either way, it was surreal after a couple glasses of wine watching the Partridge Family going, I'm going to see that guy 5:30 in the morning.
Well, I'll tell you something that you may find interesting. Some people just think it's brain damage, but it's not. It's, you know, I make a lot of references about drugs because I have some experience there. But no more than, say, when I was swinging a hammer or something like that. It's just when I say it, it's a felony and it's, you know.
Your drugs are
weird.
When I was swinging a hammer.
Or flipping burgers. Partridge, yeah. It's right. When I say the Partridge Family, it's you growing up in the Valley. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. Right. It's just, right. Mine seem odder. They seem like I talk about the Partridge when I don't. People talk to me about the Partridge Family.
Right.
I'll bring up drugs if it's a funny joke. But the point that I thought, Adam, and maybe you will find interesting, is that I don't remember it like it happened to me. Mm-hmm. I remember it like it's a story that's been told to me 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. So I know a ton about it. Mm-hmm. But I can't feel it or taste it. Mm-hmm. And when I tell the certain stories that I tell about it, they're not as much memories of the actual moment as of the telling of it last time and how to improve it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't remember actually, like the people in my front yard every morning with signs and yelling.
Yeah.
I remember that. You know, there they were. You can't really forget it. But I don't remember what it felt like to have people in your front yard screaming your name.
Well, it's interesting that most people have to preserve their childhood and their childhood memories themselves. They're in charge because people don't keep feeding them back stories. And when they were 10, when I was 10, I'm sure I had a uneventful year and there's no stories that anyone told back to me. I might be able to close my eyes and summon up some thought about the third grade. I don't even know if I could do that.
I was making out with Jodie Foster.
Right.
I turned her.
Yeah. Yeah, she was on the show along with
Comedy played her dad.
Richard Pryor.
Lou Gossett, really? What he had there.
Yeah, it was
all Charlie's Angels had their first gig.
It was crazy, people that made appearances on that show.
I brought up Friends. Mega hit. They would flip out and dance in the streets at NBC when they'd get 23 million viewers.
Right.
Partridge Family, 40 million viewers every Friday night.
Think about that. American Idol is the biggest show in this country with 30 million. Right.
And American Idol is an aberration in the sense that in this modern day,
it's a disease.
Of people being excited, I mean, over the moon about 12 million, this 30 million is something I don't think people even thought they'd see again in this modern day of 500 channels. Anyway, we need to take a break. Just
that was very interesting, your take on that. And also, you paid me some very nice compliments. Thank you.
Well,
very
you were
much.
Really. You look, you were funny at 10. I mean, you had acting.
I'm giving it up.
You had acting. Yeah, where is the 10-year-old?
Well, yeah, no, you've been in show business 40 years.
You had acting chops. You always say you can't act. That was some pretty funny acting.
I had timing as a kid, and kids never have timing. That's right. Different from acting.
Well,
I knew, here's the timing of a gag. I got it every time, but it doesn't make you an actor.
Whatever it was good, and the show was good.
I'll take the compliment.
Long before I ever met you, I always used to think, as a bit of a student of comedy, I used to say, you know, the Brady Bunch is campy and it's comfort food, but the Partridge Family is actually funny and well written. All right, where were we?
I like that you and Paula
What's
Pound
on the
started
today?
Doing those stuff.
Yes, finally
well,
found some common ground.
Dude, I love her. She took such a beating, that poor girl. If you don't know, she's a very funny comic. Real quick, she's a very funny comic that got accused of, they hinted toward child molestation. It broke down to the worst thing she'd ever done is maybe had drinks with the kids in the car, but nobody even ever proved that, and she was ruined over it, and she did nothing wrong.
She seems ultimately like a very troubled soul. Yeah. All right.
I'll tell you some stories.
Gus Johnson, CBS play-by-play announcer, is going to be with us next. We'll talk a little March Madness, see if we can get caught up on the brackets. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
There's more with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaduce coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
Carolla and Cars. It's wrong way traffic on 107.7 The End.
Well, an accident quickly cleared from northbound I-5 around the Tacoma Dome. It's just still heavy around Pacific Avenue to about the T-Dome. And more slow going northbound I-5 between Federal Way and Midway. We're also seeing some crowding here and there. Northbound 167 between Sumner and Kent. A few breakaways northbound 405 at State Route 900. And southbound I-5 and southbound 405 both a little bit heavier getting through the Snohomish King County line. Brought to you by Welch's 100% Grape Juice. A diet rich in natural antioxidants is good for your heart. And Welch's 100% grape juice is loaded with them. Help protect your heart. Drink Welch's 100% grape juice. I'm Anna D. More traffic in 30 minutes. The Adam Carolla Show continues after this on 107.7 The End.
107.7 The End. After Adam Carolla, it's DJ No Name, the Northwest's only member of the Professional Disc Jockey Hall of Fame.
Today's show, 10 times better than this promo.
DJ W No Name. After Adam Carolla on 107.7 The End.
Every year, in every season, we hear about disasters that take people's homes and lives. Disasters can strike anywhere. Floods, windstorms, earthquakes, chemical spills, even nuclear power accidents and acts of terrorism are real possibilities for which everyone must prepare. None of us know when or where disaster will strike, but we can be ready, resilient, and safe during emergencies by preparing in the following three ways. 1. Make a plan. Know the hazards in your area. Have an evacuation and communication plan with your family and practice it. 2. Build a kit. A minimum 3-day survival kit at home, in each car, at work, and at each child's school or daycare. And remember your pet's needs as well. 3. Get involved. Learn CPR and first aid. Talk with your neighbors about responding to emergencies in your neighborhood. For complete details, go to 3days3ways.org. This message is brought to you by your local Office of Emergency Management, the American Red Cross, and Singular, the new AT&T.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
You're from Seattle, give us a call.
Call Adam at 866-901-ADAM.
I'm ready.
7
the end. Seattle's alternative.
To blame.
If you said Predator,
I ain't got time to breathe.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Every day is a mad lib with Ozzy over at my house. You know, he says people's first names now. He just makes the sound of the first letter in their name, and I have to guess. I worked on the movie with someone named Heather. Heather Jurgensen, who was in Kissing Jessica Stein. We did this movie together, but her name is Heather. And I'm standing in my kitchen with Ozzy yesterday, and he's like, I'm talking to Heather. And I'm like, So now I have to go through my mind. Right. Who do I know whose name starts like you're going to sneeze? Let's see. Well, no, it's not Lynette because he would have said, but
he could have been saying, hey, Jew. If he was going to sneeze, he'd been saying hi to Teresa.
Right.
He could have. I'm thinking, now who? So you have to decipher. How many people do I know whose names? I have a stepsister named Hillary, but I don't think he knows her, and he wouldn't call her Heh. So I'm thinking, Heh. Who? Heh. Heather? It's weird. It's the funniest thing in the world with Ozzy because these are names. It's like a Ford Taurus is a Ford Taurus.
No matter what.
It's a Taurus. That's what we call the car. It's a Taurus. And their names, like I said, we have, you know, we have a Ford pickup trucks and we have a Ford Falcon. But then we also had a, we had a Ford Festiva.
Right.
We called it a Festiva. We don't have a word called Festiva in this country, but we understood it was called a Festiva.
Maybe short for Festival.
Whatever it is, but we didn't call it a Ford.
Well, I'll tell you what would be appropriate, a fe.
He was like,
not a good car.
But, you know, my ex-wife, Setsuko Hattori Banaguchi, could not, being a Japanese native, I mean, I don't know if off the boat is still an expression, but just fresh to America.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't say her L's or her R's, right? She could, just not where they belong.
Right. That's right.
She'd say an R where the L went, so she could say the R.
Yes.
And she'd say the L where the R went, so she could say L.
R. Are we going to talk about the Final Four?
Yes. The Brits, when they say spar instead of spa, and then water instead of water. They're swapping around and doing it to piss us off. Gus Johnson?
Hey.
Hey, good to speak to you.
Boys and girls.
NCAA Final Four this Saturday, CBS, Gus Johnson, and, well, let me say one of the highest compliments you can play, or I should say pay, a play-by-play guy, Bill Simmons, our own Bill Simmons, the sports guy on ESPN, said, Gus makes every event he covers more exciting. And after all, isn't that what it's all about?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, Adam, we've worked together before. You know that, right?
I heard that, but then I'm thinking, where did we work together?
Have you ever called the Rock and Jock for MTV?
The Rock and Jock. Ah. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Adam? I got to tell you, man, you are the most creative, talented, and innovative color analyst that I've ever seen come across in my life.
Well, Gus, do you remember some of Adam's finer turns of phrase?
Well, hold on.
Well, you know what? It wasn't necessarily his turns of phrases as it was his illustrations on the Telestrator. Ah. I've never seen in all my day a man be able to do what he had a chance to do at that Rock and Jock. Picture this, guys. There was a scene on the TV. Tara Reid was playing in the game.
Right.
And she
point
was running
guard
down the field, and she's a very pretty girl.
Football.
You know,
I'm sorry, she fell apart. She was hot.
Yeah.
She's a hot girl. And Adam was so creative and so analytical. He did something, like I said, that I had never seen before.
He gave her vodka?
I hope it's not what I think it is.
Yeah, he drew a penis on the screen in the direction of her mouth in the middle of the game.
That sounds
like a Kimmel-esque move. That doesn't sound like a very classy Corolla.
Tara Reid playing football?
Yeah. I think
we were in New Orleans. I believe we were in New Orleans, and I believe it was a Rock and Jock game when the Rams played the Saints. I should say the Saints played the Pats.
Were we in Tampa?
Or maybe we're in Tampa. Oh, you know, it's all just one big booze-fueled whirlwind for me. But that was fun. And, you know, really, you play those Rock and Jock games, and it's all fun and games. But you do realize when Dan Marino is playing quarterback for both teams.
Even I know that's a big name. I get that sports reference.
The guy throws a football like he's throwing a golf ball somebody. And it makes you appreciate the pro game because I used to play high school football and I was a pretty good cover guy. And you think, all right, well, I'll just cover this guy. Well, the guy does a down and out and goes to the corner of the goal. And you think, oh, I have him covered. I'm too steps away, but I'm going to close the window as soon as that ball's in the air, and then Dan Marino throws him a pass, and it hits him faster than you can blink, there's nothing you can do about it.
The ball travels
five times as fast as you can run, and it's there. And then the next time you turn on the TV and you're yelling at your team, come on, cover that guy!
That was weird, man. I don't yell at sitcoms. Come on, Chandler, you can do it! Rachel's a bitch! I never do that.
It is, you realize when you get a guy who runs a 4.3 40 and a guy who throws BBs and who's looking the other way before he throws it your direction, there's nothing you can do about
it. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yes, there's one thing you can do. Stay on the sidelines and drink and go, what the hell are these guys doing?
That's what I'm going to do when I'm watching these Final Four games. And I'm curious, Gus, can we ask you about the Georgetown-Ohio State game?
Sure.
How about this Greg Oden from Ohio State, the 7-footer?
Oh, man, what an unbelievable young man. He is a throwback player in the sense that I think he's really interested in a lot of other things outside of just playing basketball. Obviously, he's talented. He's 7 feet, and he's probably going to be the first player picked in the draft when he leaves. But let me tell you a story about him. I had a chance to call Tennessee, Ohio State earlier this year in Columbus, so I went to practice the day before the game, and after practice, I had a chance to chat with Greg for a couple of minutes, and I asked him, I said, so how's school going, and what are you doing in school? What classes jump out at you? He said, you know what, I'm taking a class, called the History of Rock and Roll. And I was like, wow, history of rock and roll, star athlete. To me, maybe that's like an elevated basket weaving class.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then I say to him, so what are you learning in the history of rock and roll? He said, well, in order to understand rock and roll, you have to go back to the foundation of the art form, which is studying the blues. So right now, we're studying Robert Johnson, and I'm learning about all the things that took place with him and how he got cheated out of his publishing and blah, blah, blah. He goes on with this long answer, and he goes into detail about everything. And so he said, yeah, so I kind of like history of rock and roll. And I went away from that conversation saying, wow, this young man is really, really bright. He really really gets it, and he's just a credit to college basketball.
You know, the sport's at all-time low, though, when we're so impressed that college students have some knowledge.
This is he's a true freshman, right? This is a young kid.
Yeah, he is a true freshman.
But it is funny in football and basketball, in any sport, where, like, this kid is bright. He's interested.
He sounds out the words.
He sounds out the words. He only uses his finger on occasion when he's reading. And it's like, he's in college. What do you think? We pulled him out of a coal mine somewhere in Kentucky from the 20s? We're so impressed when, I mean, this is how you know what we're really thinking. We're so impressed when college students actually can string together a sentence or are interested in taking classes at the college they represent.
But this guy could be a great, great, great player. Yes.
Oh, no doubt about it. He is going to be a great player.
Gus Johnson, by the way, is on the phone, going to do the color or the play-by-play, I should say. Final Four coming up this Saturday on CBS. Pardon me. We're just talking about Ohio State. We have a clip of Ohio State versus Xavier earlier this season. Let's hear a little Gus.
Out of hurry.
Here's how good Gus Johnson is. That was during halftime.
Nothing was actually happening.
He's watching a guy in a hippo outfit on a mini tramp. At that second, that's how compelling he is.
That's my only sports reference in the world is a guy on a mini tramp.
Can I ask Gus about the UCLA game, since that's one of our local
teams? Why do you keep saying, can I? You know, that's the game I won't talk about because of my dark secret.
How about the Bruins? How are they
going to do? Well, you know what? It's a rematch of the national championship game. The Bruins play excellent defense. They have great guards. And because of that, you know that Coach Holland is looking forward to, and his entire program, they're looking forward to getting back at Florida. Florida, obviously, they're dominant, the top seed in the tournament, and they have great balance on their team. But I just have a feeling that UCLA this year, the way they're playing, especially defensively, is going to give Florida a serious run for their money. I like UCLA in that game.
Really?
Now, what is Florida's favorite? Yeah. I know you're not supposed to be talking about this, but we live in the real world. If we're going to Vegas and placing a bet, and we take Florida, are we giving away 5-6 points here?
You know what? I don't know what the spread is for that game.
Why don't you guys ever? You know everything except for the one thing we want you to know, and the one thing everyone else seems to know.
You know the water boy's middle name. All you sports freaks know everything.
Please, you know.
He was born 30 miles south of Pigstown, and his grandma's name is
Greg Oden's rock and roll class.
I don't know the point spread.
Well, if you were to guess, and not that we believe that you don't know, every analyst doesn't know the one thing, the first thing that all the lay people know, which is, I don't believe, but if you were to make it up, if someone just asked you.
You know what you're doing, don't you?
I mean, if they were betting milkshakes, I would probably say three. Florida.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And if they were betting milkshakes and they said three, I would probably say that if you wanted to win the milkshake, it would, you know, you could take a chance on UCLA.
All right. So you feel good about UCLA.
My milkshake shakes all the boys in the yard. That's all I know. You know what I was thinking, Adam, is that you're actually forcing this poor young man, Gus, to lie. Mm-hmm. When he says to you, I don't know, and we all know he knows, what he means is I can't say. So if we force him to say, he has to say by so far off, his bosses can't say you told. So whatever he said, triple, multiply by two, and divide by half.
No,
and that you've got the truth.
No, you just replace dollars for milkshakes,
okay,
and I think you have your answer. We also have another clip of Gus doing his thing. This is Ohio State. And, oh, no, this is UCLA Gonzaga. Yeah.
And a steal! Fogel! Inside! The freshman up! And they go in front! Romeo! Last chance to dance!
Unbelievable!
Oh, what a game!
Unbelievable!
What a game! UCLA! Unbelievable! Are you kidding me?
Gotcha. Yeah,
that's what I've been living.
Paula Abdul of play-by-play.
Nice.
That'd be great to have Paula as your color man.
Gonzaga's a bit pitchy.
Ross, we'll be watching this Saturday, obviously, along with the nation. And I've talked to other people about this. Maybe I say it every year. Is it bigger this year than it's been in years past? It feels like everyone is talking about it. Everyone has a bracket.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was some chart or graph, what it would have looked like 10 years ago, your average workplace, what percentage of the people work there had themselves, final four brackets and were gambling and stuff like that. But it seems to be much bigger now than it was a few years ago.
Yeah, I think it's bigger because especially this year, you have all the top teams there. You have UCLA representing the West Coast, Florida representing the South, Ohio State representing the Midwest, and Georgetown representing the East Coast. So, you have a team from almost every region of the country, and they're the top teams from the top conferences, the Big East, the Pac-10, the SEC, and the Big Ten.
And what does it mean? It must mean a ton for the school. I don't know if you can quantify it, but it must translate into millions of dollars, certainly in recruiting, but not only
milkshakes.
Millions of milkshakes, not only recruiting your next class for basketball, but just recruiting your next class, period, right?
Yeah, well, you know, when schools do well in the NCAA tournament, it's on record that, more kids apply for that school. So they're able to basically it's a marketing and a promotional opportunity for the university.
Because
quite often you see the promos of the university being run during the game. And,
right. Well, you know, I just thought about it. I know they always run these things where they're always like Florida State, a tradition in excellence, and meanwhile the guys are just kicking the crap out of each other on the football field. But we show a bunch of short white guys in the lab. That's what I think of when I think of Florida State. But the thing I really realize is it's sort of akin to a race team in professional motorsports, which is when you see Aston Martin or Ferrari or Ford or anybody do the winning on the weekend, you're not going to drive a NASCAR. You're never going to own one of these Formula One cars or anything. It sells the product. So you see the big coverage, you see the Formula One race, you see the NASCAR race, that draws people into the brand, and then on Monday morning people go, I think I'll go check out a Ford, or I think I'll go check out a fill in the blank. This feels to me to be almost the equivalent in But in college,
I think you're right. I mean, that's a great analogy. I mean, and then you look at it, Greg Oden is a Michael Schumacher. I mean, because he comes in and plays the way he plays and is as talented and gets as much attention, everybody watches him, so the brand grows as they end up going all the way to the Final Four, maybe the National
Championship. So, wait, are you talking about the college or the team? Are you saying that this is a commercial for the college?
It's a commercial for the college.
So I'm 5'6", a buck and a half, and I watch this game of any of the top seeds, and I say to myself, well, those guys look great. I'm going to try that school. I'm going to go to that university.
Yes, it's the same thing where you go, I saw that Ford Thunderbird win at Talladega. I'm going to go buy a street version of bone stock Ford. It just gets the brand out there. It doesn't make sense on a certain level, but it does subconsciously.
Bought my Harley Davidson.
I want to be with a winner.
Right, exactly.
I bought my Harley Davidson, and I had a jet bike, and I bought my Harley Davidson off a good commercial. I watched it, and I thought, I want to be part of that thing. So you're absolutely right.
Yep. Well, Gus, I'd like to be a part of Gus Johnson. I got to say that right now.
There is an opening.
So I've heard that. Gus Johnson.
I've heard you can have him for 3 milkshakes.
Gus is a tramp. Yeah, but you got to tip him, too.
A little whipped cream.
Yeah, watch the vanilla. CBS this Saturday, Final Four, we'll be watching, and then we'll be watching the championship game on Monday as well, Gus. Come back anytime.
Hey,
I'd love to talk to you.
I really appreciate it, guys, and you have a good day out there.
You too, man. Thank you.
There's nothing wrong with being pleasant.
He was very pleasant.
What do you mean?
Just Gus Johnson. You know, he was alert. He was awake. He sat up. He realized he's on the air. So many people, it seems like, I interview. It seems sort of somewhere between a burden and a nuisance. Oh, somewhere between a favor and a nuisance
to
them.
I think we should do something about that, though. I don't think you... We are CBS. We are Viacom. We are Woman Hear Us Roar.
Mm-hmm.
We're a big-ass deal in a big-ass company, and I don't think we have to take that. Because that bothers me. It bothers me when guests call in on cell phones, unless it's an emergency.
Right.
You know, they had to, and they were still kind enough to call in.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're just somewhere local and they're just going to call their cell phone, I hate that.
What should we
do? And if they're down the road and they don't come in, I hate that. And if they do come in and they act bored with us because we're disc jockeys and they're B to A-list TV or movie stars, I hate that. We should have a code. Maybe that Brian plays. Let Brian be the decision maker, or you give him the wink and he plays a sound of some kind.
Who's Brian?
The bald dude over
there.
Okay. Come on!
That'll be your code.
That's it?
Yeah. So well, not that we turn on
him. Give him a warning to become more interesting. Give him 30-second warning.
Well, you know what? If the boss would give me that green light, I would happily say, you know, man, we're actually doing you a favor.
Nice so to talk to you.
Either wake up and be happy to be here or split.
So they have 30 seconds after the Huelhauser.
Yeah.
Sound interesting.
Yeah.
And then 99.
No, that's fine. I'm being legitimate. I think if they come in here and act bored on the Adam Carolla Show, then eat me and get off the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm
you know, no matter what kind of night I have, I come in and I give it my all. So do you, so do you, so do you.
Here's $10. Never call the show again.
That's a good sign.
I like
that's
that.
Good, too. All right, Brian.
I think it should be more subtle, though, if I'm going to kill them casually. It shouldn't be, the sign shouldn't be, Danny, kill them. It should be a little more subtle than that.
Right, the eagle is
landing. And I don't mean to be rude. I just really mean that somebody should tell these guys, because I hate that.
Well,
and that guy was, Gus was such a good example of the opposite of that.
Please try your call again later.
Yeah, we do usually, to be fair to us, subtle. Put them down.
Oh, we
shame them, and it's or we hang up on Ann Coulter. But either way, here's what I want to talk about next. I want your phone calls at 866-901-ADAM. I was thinking about this Eddie Griffin thing and him destroying the Ferrari. I was actually talking to Joel McHale about it yesterday. This is what
from the soup on E.
This is what white guys do in the afternoon.
We
talk to each other about Ferraris.
Right.
And he had a car question. We were just talking. We started talking about it. And he was saying, I wonder if Eddie Griffin did it on purpose. Now, I'll tell you how I know the answer to almost every question as a student of psychology. You can use, it's nothing, you don't have to use the Vulcan mind meld to get your answers. You can, if you sort of study psychology and human ways and nature a little bit, you can figure out the truth behind almost everything. I'll tell you how I know he didn't do it on purpose as a publicity stunt, but here's another part. What is the most expensive thing you've ruined?
Oh, wow.
Because we should all, everyone has a story about screwing up something, putting their foot through a Picasso, so to speak. What have you screwed up? What have you ruined? What is something of value you've knocked off a pedestal?
And it's worse when it's someone else's.
Now, accidentally or on purpose?
Either way will do.
Because my favorite story is actually something my wife did. The one who never raises her voice did something not only horrifying, but fascinating the way she went about it.
All right. And on purpose.
So I'm in.
And on purpose. All right. So I'll tell you how I know that Eddie Griffin did not do this on purpose.
While you think this out about the most, this is a million-dollar Ferrari, the most expensive thing you've ever ruined, either accidentally or on purpose, just because some people go for it in anger, rage out, and wreck the most important thing in their house.
Yeah.
Some people, you've accidentally been at their home and it was turned out to be a Ming vase. Our phone numbers, again, are 1-866-901-ADAM.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
107.7 The End. Friday night when the suits are gone for the weekend and the ties come off, beer comes out.
Gets real loud around here.
Every Friday night at 6, another local band plays live on the air.
Local hip-hop live in the studio this Friday afternoon. The Saturday nights in the studio celebrating the release of their brand new EP.
Hear the best of the Seattle music scene.
Another local band, live on The End.
Friday night at 6.
On 107.7 The End.
Brought to you by Rolling Rock.
Look. At Harbor Homes, our trademark is quality, choice, and value for a reason. We make it our top priority to offer more choices and the most flexibility when it comes to personalizing your new home. Find out more by maximizing your browser now and clicking on our banner. New home shopping online at harborhomes.com has never been easier. Enjoy skillful design and quality craftsmanship with intelligent details for ease in everyday living in your new Harbor Home. Offered from the 300s to 500s, many of our carefully planned commuter friendly neighborhoods feature views, parks, greenbelt home sites, and easy access to recreation. Enjoy entertaining and dramatic living spaces and cooking in your spacious gourmet kitchen featuring stainless steel appliances, hardwood floors, butler's pantry, and much more. Maximize your browser now and click on our banner to request more information. You'll find everything you need for your next new home purchase at harborhomes.com. That's H-A-R-B-O-U-R homes.com. Quality, choice, and value. That's Harbor Homes.
Just like me.
Adam's music news you can use.
Hello, everybody. I'm Sarah, and this is the music news. Unfortunately, I don't have cable TV, but I was thinking of signing up because the new season of The Henry Rollins Show kicks off on IFC, the independent film channel, on April 15th. Henry Rollins, the notoriously opinionated and notably articulate former Black Flag frontman, hosts a weekly program, and this season's guests include musical performances by the Mars Volta, Ryan Adams, and the man, the myth, the legend, Iggy Pop. Talk about cooler than cool. Guest last season featured everyone from Tom York to Dinosaur Jr. to our own morning show host, Adam Carolla, who talked very candidly about how difficult it is to be funny early in the morning.
How do you make that rock? I mean, that would be very challenging.
It's also, there's a sort of traffic cop component of it. It's tough.
What you want to do is free your brain up to the point where it can focus solely on the creative endeavor.
Henry Rollins is also doing a cultural commentary performance with the comedian Janine Garofalo called It's Not a Play and There's No Music. The show will run for 3 nights in New York and then 3 more in L.A. starting April 10th. That's the music news you can use, brought to you by Divers Institute.
A car dealer's at the end.
Seattle's alternative.
107.7 The End. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? The bad news is Jack Band's got a little bit of a cold. The even worse news, over the years, Jack Band's developed an immunity to penicillin. We have more March Madness for you today. Def Breca and Kobayashi. For Pros vs. Joes, former USC running back Petros Papadakis. And for the number one movie in America, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Billy West. Jack Band saw the flick, kind of disappointed, put a light on the teenagers. Wait.
Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, phone lines lighting up. 866-901-ADAM. The most expensive or most important thing you've ever ruined, either intentionally or not.
Oh, chicks.
Coming off of coming off the Eddie Griffin Ferrari, everyone keeps saying that car was $1.4 million. It's kind of tough with Ferraris because there's the sticker price. Then, as I say to people all the time, they go, that car, a car's $1 million? Who would pay $1 million for a car? And I say, it's not who would, it's who gets the opportunity.
Absolutely.
There are several thousand guys who would like to get their hands on something they made 400 of, and you can get on a list. And when it comes to Ferrari, you should have bought the other Ferrari. They'll decide if you're a Ferrari owner. They'll let you buy the Ferrari. If you haven't bought other Ferraris, you don't get on the list. So again, it's not who's going to pay $1 million for a car. It's who gets the opportunity and the privilege to spend $1 million for a car. And you would be surprised how many rich people there are in this world.
You would be. You ever read The Millionaire Next Door?
No, but all you got to do is open the Robb Report and see the commercials for the luxury liners that start at $20 million and the private jets and everything. But I mean, seriously, if I came out with a car and it was the right car and it was $2 million and I said I'm only going to make 500 of these things, there would be a waiting list of people who wanted to plunk down,
especially as you
million dollars
to Eddie Griffin.
Well, now.
Well, I was going to say it real quick as you were talking yesterday. I didn't want to interrupt with just a stat. But those are not the only two of those cars that have been crashed. A guy sent me actual newspaper articles over MySpace of other crashes. So 6 of them have been totaled over the years.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm sure worldwide it's going to happen. I mean, it's not an autographed baseball. These things get taken out in the world and driven, and oftentimes guys drive them hard because that's really what they're ultimately designed for. They don't get put in a glass case and put up on a trophy
thing. That's what I told to that cop, remember? It would be offensive to my motorcycle not to drive it this fast.
You do not want to offend a man's hog.
Yes, I had something of mine ruined, and it was not valuable per se, but it had some...
It's still worse than
emotional value, which was that I had an Emmy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the statue.
You had an Emmy.
Yes. Had. I won an Emmy, and then mm-hmm. you get the statue. And my ex-boyfriend, who you met, was the nicest guy, and he wanted to build it. It's just kind of sitting there like a doorstop, and he wanted to build it a corner shelf.
Uh-huh.
And he was putting the shelf up, and he's real tall, and he doesn't, like, know where his limbs are. And he hit the shelf with his head, knocking the Emmy, you know, 6 feet
Please
to the
say
ground.
Into his ass.
Right.
And I heard a loud thud, and I walked to the back of the house, and there was my Emmy. Its hand broken off.
I mean, oh.
The world, it's holding like a little globe thing, broken.
Well, you got to feel like, you know, an Oscar is built like an anvil.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how you could damage an Oscar unless you got a acetylene cutting torch and a ball peen hammer.
You can snap it off its post, but then just put it right back on.
Yes, but an Emmy with the wings and the globes and the hands and everything, yeah. This is a hood ornament made of marzipan.
There's a moment.
If I won one, yes. It would be a hood.
Well, there was a moment. There was a moment as I looked at her, the Emmy in pieces on the floor, where I had to decide, how do I handle this? Because he was obviously trying to do something nice, and he did not intend. And I was like, get yourself together. And I said, please don't feel bad. I know that was an accident. And he was way more upset than I was. You can just order a new one. 6 months later, they send you a replacement.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
With an Emmy, obviously, you have to produce paperwork. Yeah. Otherwise, Bonaducci would have $1,250 be dragging a sack of
I have two now, and neither of them are mine.
For cigarettes with Emmys.
You do have two?
Yeah, but I didn't win them.
Whose are they?
The people gave them to me. Okay. One's from a movie of the week from Jonathan Brandmeier. Had something to do with and got a Emmy. And
oh,
they gave it to me.
Yeah. Nice.
I think you'll like this one. This is real brief. I didn't do it. It was done to me. Because you can imagine if we're going to sit here all day and think of the most expensive things I've busted. I got to go with me, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I have hundreds of thousands of dollars in steel and surgery and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was subtle and cool. When I first married Gretchen, I used to try and spook her out like I do with other people when I want what I want done. I get as creepy and as spooky as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And people, no matter their size and or gender, I mean, she knew I wouldn't ever lay a hand on her, but they get the effect. It works for me, and it always has. And I'm growling, and I'm saying, this is how this house runs, and I start busting stuff. But I'm busting crap. It's an act. I'm not going to bust anything that costs me real money that I like. I'm just busting useless crap. And I have no money at this point. We have a big screen TV that I just left over from my old girlfriend who was supposed to move with me and changed her mind, smartly enough. And it's balanced precariously on a staircase shelf. And Gretchen goes, she's looking at me and I'm screaming. She goes, you know, right now you're just an a-hole. And she just takes the big screen TV and just pushes it off the ledge because it was so easily balanced because she's 100 pounds. And it blows up. It implodes. It smashes. It does the whole friggin' thing. She goes, right now you're an a-hole. Boom. Now you're an a-hole with no TV. What kind of a-hole do you suppose you're going to be in the next 5 minutes? And I was so shocked that she was not only not afraid of me, because I didn't know her. Just because we were married didn't mean I didn't know her last name.
Right.
And I was so shocked that she not only wasn't afraid, but it actually outdone me. Because I realized then my rage was fake. I hadn't broken one thing I cared about. When she broke my TV, I was heartbroken. Like, all the game was out of me. I couldn't believe it.
If a woman ever got near my TV...
Uh-oh.
First thing I would have done is the slow motion 80s action film dive, you know? Yeah, that thing where I'm in the Secret Service and an assassin is about to shoot the slow motion dive, that followed by when the TV crashed to the ground, they fall to the knees, look up to the sky, doves, pigeons flying away.
You're asking
pigeons
God why?
Yes, echoing through the canyons as we pull out from the Corolla house. Oh, birds flying. Yes, oh, the television set. Well. Oh, we got a lot of good calls here.
Really?
I knew we would.
A lot of good ruined stuff.
I've got to hear some of these.
I'll tell you why Eddie Griffin didn't do it on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Then we'll take a few calls, and then I'll tell you my most precious mementos that are gone, ruined. You see, when people plan things out, like ruining a car or doing anything in advance, they not only plan the event, they plan the reaction. if I'm going to kill my wife and make it look like I came home and discovered her, I will plan my reaction. When I call 911, I'm not going to be, yeah, she's dead. Yeah, she's got pitchfork in her back. Set a corner, and could you call my insurance company?
Then
we some money. Yes, I'm going to come in, and I'm going to put some, I'm going to cut an onion so I can get some tears going, right. And I'm going to be, oh, my God. And I'm going to do my best acting job. If Eddie Griffin had planned in advance with the producer of this movie to destroy the guy's car, well, A, he wouldn't have hit it like he hit it. He would have sideswiped it. But if he had planned this in advance, he also would have planned his reaction. And his reaction would have been in alignment with the event that just happened instead of the reaction we got. The reaction we got was this, hey, man, I'm an undercover brother. I didn't say I was a driver. And he laughed it off, and people thought it was so cavalier and so whatever. This is what you do when you fall down by mistake. You pop up and start laughing and say you did it on purpose. But when you plan a pratfall, you get up slowly, holding your neck, going, oh, I'm going to sue you.
Right.
Who did? You plan your reaction. So his reaction, if this was premeditated, would have been a very different reaction. He would have been shaken up. He would have said, oh, my God, the accelerator stuck. Or he would have said, there's now going to be a lawsuit. He would have had a planned reaction instead of off guard, off the cuff,
right.
Totally inappropriate.
And what about the actual accident itself? You saw that.
He locked it up.
He could have been killed, though, right?
I know. He locked
He's
up
not
the brakes,
that talented.
Turned the tires, and skidded into the wall. I mean, A, he's not good enough to plan that physically. He's not a stunt coordinator. And B, he would, again, everybody, if you premeditate something, you will also premeditate, as a matter of fact, would have focused more on the reaction. When you get out of the car and they put a microphone in your face, here's what I'm going to do. First, I'm going to say my neck hurts. I think I should go to the hospital.
Right.
Secondly, I'm going to say the accelerator stuck. I'm going to act shaken. I'm going to say I need to sit down. It will be planned. Not pop out of the car and yell undercover brother on DVD. Get it this week.
Right. Now, you know, I know that you're right. I don't know what the statute of limitations is on insurance fraud, which I never committed, by the way. But this isn't exactly what happened.
Sounds guilty when you say that.
I crashed a $500,000 Ferrari that happened to be floating while I was fishing off the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
Into the beach. Well, I don't
really?
Say, I don't want to say boat because that's real. On a crowded Sunday afternoon where people could have been killed because I fell asleep at full speed with the autopilot on.
Mm-hmm.
At a $500,000 yacht.
Mm-hmm.
And when I jumped off that boat and news cameras were already there, and I said, I was trying to untangle fishing wire and got caught on a wave and just surfed it. I said it that fast. Well, that can't happen. Or couldn't have happened, but it did. But, I mean, he's right. I didn't have a ready, you know, wasn't insurance. Luckily, the boat wasn't told. They fixed it for 20 G's, and I'm fine. But still, he's absolutely right. You'd have something great to say.
Well, everyone, it's called premeditating.
Right, exactly.
Meaning you not only premeditate the action, which is crashing the boat or crashing the Ferrari, but the very first thing you focus on after you focus on how am I going to crash this thing is how convincing am I going to be when they put a microphone or an insurance investigator in front of me. Luis?
Hey, how's it going?
How do you say your name?
Luis, L-U-I-S.
Luis.
Yeah. All right. What'd you do?
Oh, well, I crashed my cousin's $20,000 Harley Davidson motorcycle.
Did you hit your head?
He hit me, and I had a helmet, and I was protected, it was just scary for me, man, because I told him that I could drive it, and I couldn't, and I lied, and he let me ride it.
And did you ruin it?
Yeah, I ruined it pretty bad.
I had a poor friend of mine hop on a motorcycle that we found.
Wow.
Do that thing where you jump on, and you just do the wheelie on it, because you give it too much gas, and the handlebar hit our neighbor, my buddy's neighbor's brand new Mercedes 600, and opened it like a can opener. Like, there's the dent in the fender, body shop work, and then there's the literally open it up so that you can see the inside of the door mechanism all the way down the fender.
Not good.
And this poor kid didn't have insurance or money. All right, so 20 grand worth of Harley. It's Luis calling from Fresno.
Yeah, but you got to think of it as more than that, because Harleys go up to 40 grand.
Ooh.
So that means this guy built
it. Are you seeing what I'm seeing on the line?
Ooh, I'm seeing Jay from Corona Del Mar, wrecked dad's 66 GT250 California Ferrari. These are cars that are going for hundreds of thousands of dollars now. Jay?
Yes, sir.
Jay, what year did you wreck this car?
What year did I wreck this car?
Mm-hmm.
It would probably be 1998. It was senior high school.
And that car, do you know how much those are going for these days?
One went on Barrett Jackson last year's auction for a little over $500,000.
Yeah, and I've seen them, depending on how rare, up to $1 million. But this was, this is 98, so it's only worth a couple hundred grand.
What happened?
Somewhere in the ballpark. Coming back from prom, I lived in a gated community, went around a corner too fast, and bang, in through the front gates.
I had the exact same experience. All you have to do is replace gated community with crappy apartment in North Hollywood and Ferrari with 76, actually, four-speed vinyl floor-matted VW Rabbit, and you have the exact same story.
Was it prom night when you crashed it?
No.
Yeah, as opposed to getting a limo, my dad or my stepdad let me borrow the car instead.
Oh, stepdad. And you,
God.
Did you, how much damage did you do to the car?
Pretty much they said it was not repairable, even though my stepdad still has it to this day. He has put a new front clip on it and replaced the motor framework, I guess. You know.
The thing about a car like that is yeah, if that is a 87 Scirocco, it's not repairable, but if it's a $500,000 Ferrari that they made 200 of in 1966, you better figure out a way to fix that car.
Right. The only problem is that resale, if he went to sell it again, he's not going to get the same amount that he was, if it wasn't actually totaled.
Right, because what happens, thanks, Jay, what happens with a lot of this stuff is you take this Ferrari, your son wraps it around a telephone pole, now you need a new engine block, a new front clip, a new whatever. People start checking serial numbers. And they go, oh, this is a 1966 Ferrari GT California Special. And by the way, this is the car from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
See, that's what I was thinking about right there. That's that moment where he's kicking his dad's tire in his little bipolar moment.
That was a kit car that they drove through the whatever. But this is the car we're talking about, made famous in that movie. And then the guy who's going to buy it goes, oh, this is fantastic. Do the VIN numbers line up with the engine block numbers? And then he goes, well, actually, my stepson. And the guy goes, oh, well, that'll... how about we knock 200 grand off the price?
Absolutely.
Just because the serial numbers don't line up.
I do stuff to my GTO all the time that people think is worth a fortune. It's totally not collectible, my car. It's built from other pieces and stuff like that. Numbers match.
Franken car.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a bitchin' ass Franken car.
You don't want Franken car. You want Crunchberry.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
I don't know what that meant. We need to take a quick break, but the good news is we're going to keep this party train rolling because we got someone who ruined a Mickey Mantle autograph, and we got someone who fell through a roof and destroyed $125,000 China set.
That's the one I've been dying to talk to this whole time.
Wow. There's, it's like starting Marie Osmond's dog collection on fire accidentally.
Ruined.
On purpose.
I like Hunter over here from Phoenix ruined his wife's family heirloom because that is not only has a monetary value on it, but that can ruin a relationship. I will tell you my most valuable treasures that were destroyed at my own hands.
Oh, yeah. You did.
By the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sure. We'll do that, and then we'll do news next on the Adam Carolla Show.
There's more with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaduce coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
Most people too.
All into a deafening
cars. It's wrong way traffic on 107.7 The End.
Well, we're just seeing the standard slowdowns everywhere, including northbound over the 1st Avenue South Bridge and northbound I-5 from 288 through Midway and down the South Center Hill, again, middle of Bowling Field to Seneca Street. Our only floating bridge slowdown so far is on eastbound 520 from Motlake Boulevard across. Southbound I-5, mainline and express lanes, not so bad between Northgate and downtown Seattle, but you will see slowdowns well before Northgate, and we're talking Motlake Terrace off and on to Northgate and southbound 405 as well, 527 into Kirkland. This afternoon at 5, the Church of Laszlo announces the winner of Endelocity trip number 8 and gives them 10 minutes and 70 seconds to call back and claim the grand prize trip to Coachella. Keep listening today for your chance, your last chance to qualify. I'm in a demo traffic in 30 minutes. The Adam Carolla Show continues after this on 107.7 The End. What if I...
radio advised, with every one of those late night stations playing songs bringing tears to my eyes. I was seriously thinking about hiding the receiver when the switch broke because it's old. They're saying things that I can hardly believe. They really think we're getting out of control. Radio is the sound salvation. Radio is leading us a nation. They say you better listen to do what you were told. You better listen to the radio. I wanna fight the hand that feeds me. I wanna fight that hand so badly. I wanna make them wish they'd never seen me. Some of my friends sit around every evening and they worry about the times ahead. But everybody else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. You either shut up or get cut out. They don't want to hear about it. It's only inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. They say you better listen to the voice of
Show on 107.7 The End.
107.7.
107.7.
The End.
I like it.
more of The Adam Carolla Show
on 107.7 The End.
Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Scores presents Strip Club Etiquette with the Deaf Frat Guy. Today's topic, loose change.
While required by law to take it, strippers do not usually accept coins. Though if you find one that will take a roll of quarters, it is totally worth the risk, if you know what I mean.
That was Strip Club Etiquette, brought to you by Scores and the Deaf Frat Guy. Now back to The Adam Carolla Show.
Required by law to take change.
That's true. He's a tender.
All right, well, Deaf Rat Guy is going to be in here after the news, and he's going at it with Kobayashi. So,
this should be weird.
Everybody buckle in. We should get a third guy no one understands. We should get Ozzy in here.
You know what's funny is I'm rooting for Deaf Rat Guy. It's weird because I get a lot of mail about the show, and one of them is, why don't Deaf Rat Guy and I like each other?
Mm-mm.
And we do. I think maybe at first we stepped off on the wrong foot because he felt I took his job.
Yeah.
But that's been kind of over. I get him and
it's
think he's really
you.
Funny. Is that what it is?
I think
that he can't tell that I'm over and it's cool and I didn't really take his job. It's just still in his head.
He's a wounded warrior. I don't know what's up in his head other than
I'm going to sneak up behind him, which would be easy, and hit him on the bat.
Please do, or we'll let Kobayashi do it. Either way, before that we were talking about. Based on Eddie Griffin crashing the Ferrari thing, which he did not do on purpose, I'm convinced. Also, he would have timed it for another week or so down the road because the movie's not coming out for a couple weeks.
Right, absolutely.
But what is the most valuable, not necessarily expensive, but valuable thing you've broken or destroyed or had destroyed? I'll tell you mine, but first we'll hear from Jack. Jack?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Adam?
Jack from Visalia. What's happening, my brother?
Oh, nothing. Just taking a little break here at work. What are you doing?
Well, just working.
Not taking a break. Yeah. This is our actual job.
What is your job, Jack?
I'm actually a commercial plumber.
Good times. So you do plumbing at a commercial. Wow, life in the fast lane, brother. What's going on? Tell us your story.
$25
an hour.
Easily.
Really?
How much an hour are you making, Jack?
$38 an hour.
There you go. See?
If this job were longer, like a real day job, he'd be making more money than I am.
Yeah, but think of the disturbing things that Jack has had to pull out of drains and pipes. Am I right, Jack?
No, I don't do that part anymore.
No, he's not. He's not running an auger down a clogged line. He's actually doing new construction.
Yeah.
He's doing it commercially. And look,
federal buildings, high schools.
Quickly,
colleges.
I don't want to get preachy, but I'm guessing Jack wasn't at the top of his class in high school. Fine. He knew it. He got into a trade. He makes $38 an hour, some overtime, and has some good insurance now. That's why college isn't for everyone. Jack, go ahead. Tell us the most expensive thing you've destroyed.
Okay, well, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when I was doing houses, I was doing a remodel on an old house and climbing through the attic, and I went through some sheetrock and ended up landing on a china hutch and destroyed the china. It was valued at $125,000.
New name for TSV.
China hutch?
China hutch.
It was in Korea, too.
It's very fragile.
And really, $125,000?
Yeah, it was dated back to like the early, like 1807, and it was this old lady's great-great-great-grandma's. So.
And did insurance handle it?
Actually, the insurance through the company I worked for did.
You know what, though? That won't always do.
The insurance.
Yeah. That won't always do. When I had my Viper, I barely drove it because I lived in Chicago. And, you know, it rains. And
Viper in Chicago.
It was the worst idea ever.
Yeah.
But I got a snowmobile in Florida.
There's totally a reason that I had that car in Chicago. It's just not worth the story right now. But I knew it was stupid when I did it, but there's a good reason. But anyway, after a while, I ended up staying in Chicago a lot longer than I thought, like 7 years. Mm-hmm. And this car had 3,000 miles on it. And then I let somebody borrow it, and they smashed it up a little bit. And they wanted to have it fixed. And I said, no. There's 3,000 miles on a first-year Viper. It won't be worth what it was repaired. I need a new Viper from that year with low mileage. And they wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes insurance, although they'll seem to replace the object, will not always replace its value and never its sentimental value.
Well, like I said, anyone, especially if you're not talking about a Honda, but you're talking about a valuable sports car, if the car has been crashed.
God, that was fast.
It is kind of the time. It's a hot chick who was molested. That's right. The way
damn
we
it.
Looked at it.
But yeah. Even more lovable.
We'll still take her, but the price has just gone down.
Actually, aside,
stock has gone down.
I don't want to say anything about having proving molestation. That's horrifying, and the molester should be killed.
But girls who have been molested.
I just, dude, or anything, I just dig effed up chicks that might go psycho on you any second.
Well,
that's my favorite kind of
chick
girl.
That constantly pulls to the right and has a whistling sound over 60 miles an hour. Have at it. Not me. I want a car I can steer with my knee.
See, I want a girl that when she whips out a steak knife and there's a steak right next to her, it's still a 50-50 shot where the knife's going. I love that girl.
Let me tell you why you would like that car. You want that car for a weekend to thrash on, but you don't want to buy it and put it in your garage for the rest of your life.
Yes, on both counts. You want to use the car and the girl, you're right.
You want donuts in the Lucky's parking lot when it's raining with that car, but you don't want to take it home to Dad.
You're just so right. I ruined a station event. My boss told me to show off in a parking lot of a racetrack and do donuts, and I did so many, they had to leave. The smell was unbearable. The smoke was unbearable. Everybody had to go home.
Your chick smelled that bad?
Is.
Hold on. Are we talking about kids or cars?
Now we're back at sports cars. It's like doing donuts.
Donut?
Like
is that a sexual thing?
Yes, actually.
Steven?
It's right behind teabagging.
What the hell did you do?
You know, back in the day, it was legal to burn your garbage in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking out the trash. I light it up. It's a very hot summer day. I'm in my pajamas. And a wind took one piece of paper with some flame on it, set it down about 10 yards into the grass. The grass was dry like somebody poured gasoline on it. And the flames just started traveling across the field like a sprint. Mm-hmm. I'm running out there trying to stomp it out in my pajamas. My pajamas catch on fire. While I'm trying to put myself out, the flame goes across the field, catches some bushes on fire, and I burn my neighbor's house down.
Oh, good one.
And you burned it down to the ground?
Burned it down. And because we're out in the Midwest, in a rural area, we had a volunteer fire department, so it took them a while to like gather everybody and get there, which is why the house went up.
Yeah, bucket brigade wasn't there soon enough, and it burned. Yeah. It. And did you have to explain to the neighbor what you did?
Well, my grandfather did, but he put a good whooping on me beforehand. I mean, I caught a whooping like a bad cold. It wasn't pretty. And burnt pajamas. He wouldn't let me take my pajamas off because he wanted
burnt pajamas was my porn name when I was doing gay porn for a while. You'll be working with Peter North in burnt pajamas. Fantastic. All right, Steven, you're in Long Beach now. What are you doing over there?
I am doing comedy short film.
Wow. Well, see, there you go. Your grandpa beat you, and he beat the comedy right out of you.
He beat the comedy into me, actually.
Nice. Burnt pajamas, everyone. All right, last one, and then I'll tell you what I destroyed cool. That was most valuable to me. Scott?
Yeah?
What do you, from Fresno, what'd you ruin?
Well, when I was a little kid, I sent my grandma back east a picture of myself playing T-ball. Mm-hmm. She ran into Mickey Mantle, had it autographed for me, and sent it back to me. And I couldn't read it, and I was about 7 years old, so I took a Sharpie marker and wrote right over it.
Mm. Yeah, thing would have been worth something today.
Yeah, and they're both dead now, so kind of hard to replace.
Did Mickey Mantle sign a lot of stuff, or he didn't like signing?
Like signing in public, and my grandma actually went to the same coffee shop he went to. Actually, it was a bar, but I like to think coffee shop.
There you go.
But they went to the same place and got a little rapport and got it signed for me.
Yeah. I mean, that thing would have been worth thousands these days. I'm sure. I don't know how it works, where if you have a baseball card of his or a bat, if it's worth more than a personal picture of you playing T-ball. I don't know how that would work over at Christie's, but it definitely be worth something.
Yeah, that has more emotional value.
When, Mayweather was here, did he sign the gloves for you?
Mayweather.
Floyd?
Floyd Mayweather? Yeah. No, he didn't sign the gloves I brought.
Because I interviewed Evander Holyfield once, and I was on a girly station. I was like Ryan Seacrest. I was on that kind of station.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I had the press credentials, so I just took a microphone that wasn't plugged into anything. It just went into a fanny pack because I couldn't play an interview with a boxer and then, you know, play the Goo Goo Dolls. So I just wanted to meet him, but nobody else wanted to talk to him, so I'm actually interviewing him back and forth, and he was just so intimidating, and at the end I asked him to sign a glove, and he said, no, I only do that for charities. I'll sign something else for you, but I won't sign any gloves.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And he says, only because they're, he said, flood the market, they're not worth anything, and I do them for, that's my charity thing.
To be fair to Vander, it was one of those elbow high silk gloves, like, what's her name, Warren Breakfast at Tiffany.
Yeah, so playing piano again.
A boxing glove.
It was Liberace's glove. We still sign it.
Well, I was going to ask you, Adam, what was ruined of yours?
Yes. What was ruined of mine? Hold on. Jimmy Kimmel is online.
I think I ruined his show once. Does that count?
He did ruin it with Celebrity in a Box.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, he didn't do my career a lot of good by making me Celebrity in a Box.
Jimmy?
I think my cousin Sal actually ruined that. I would never blame you for that.
Thank you.
I ruined a number of, a lot of laundry. But I just want to mention that Eddie Griffin will be on the on my show tonight. So I will interrogate him as to, I don't know. I was looking at the videotape, and it looks to me, it's hard to tell whether the smoke was in the car before the action. I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's at a charity event, right? So he's got to be stoned.
What, were you breaking it down like the Zapruder film?
You should, yeah.
I did, actually. I did. It's hard to really get, it's hard to get a look into, but if he was stoned, that is the greatest thing ever. I mean, just he got baked and wrecked that Ferrari.
That's too funny. You should, like, if he gets weird about talking about it, you should kind of put in subtle things, like, I'm all tired, wonder where I'm going to crash, stuff like that. A group of rhinoceros, or rhinoceri, are actually called a crash.
They are?
So you can actually work all this stuff in. If he gets all hoity-toity, I don't want to talk about it. Just find other ways to say the word crash to this guy. Watch him squirm.
Maybe we can put a liner of some kind in the toilet in his dressing room and then do a quick drug test on his urine while he's out on the couch.
Well, I mean,
I love that.
The only drug he won't take, according to him, is his heart medication, right, so he doesn't have another heart attack on the set of Malcolm and Eddie Part 2. I mean, Jimmy, that's what you need to ask him about, is this guy had a heart attack when he was 30 years old, and the doctor told him to take medicine, and he will not do it.
Yeah, well, you know what? Apparently, he's gotten over that heart problem, because if you don't have a heart attack after you wreck somebody's $1.5 million Ferrari,
that's
you're
a
probably
pretty good
not going to have one.
That's
yeah.
true.
How's
yeah.
your ticker?
Man, maybe.
Kimmel, how's your ticker?
My ticket, I don't know, it's fine so far, but I'm sure it's congealed with fat and disgusting.
You know, the reason I ask is, as the one time, and I used the word guest loosely, I was a beanist in a box, but no, who cares? The one time I did his show, I asked things about him, and you get there at like 8 in the morning where, you know, most late-night talk show hosts get there right before they go on, run over the jokes. You manage that show, you do stuff around here. You seem to work day and night in a very cerebral, intense business. Do you feel like that you might just one day on stage just have a grabber?
Save it for sweeps, buddy, if you're going
to
do it.
I think it's the law. You have to have a heart attack of some kind when you're a talk show host.
Right. Letterman?
Yeah.
Remember Dick Shawn?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have one by the time I'm 45, I'm going to start smoking.
Well, I got some for you right here, buddy. You'll be fine.
And they all go to the same cardiologist. All the talk show hosts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Letterman and Regis went to the same guy.
Well, I'm sure he's the biggest guy in the East
Coast.
I'm going
to go to him, too, just to be cool.
All right, so
Eddie O'Donnell is going to go to him until the X-Men showed she has no heart.
Eddie Griffin tonight on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Well, that'll be a scoop. And Jimmy will not skirt the tough questions.
Well, I had no idea he was a known pot smoker.
Yeah, you could have never done that math.
Maybe he isn't. I don't know. I don't want to cast any aspersion, but I will find out tonight.
We'll find out. All right, ABC 1206. Although I tune in at 1205. Well, I go 1205 to play it safe.
Right.
But 1206 is the official starting time. Jimmy Kimmel live tonight. Eddie Griffin will be watching. Yeah, who's the musical guest?
The musical guest, I have no idea. I can't remember.
Dude, I have so no plans for it. I was going to come by.
Well, more than welcome to come by, but think of it as a surprise.
Okay, thanks.
And also, you'll be required to watch the show from a box.
Yeah, while not smoking.
We're going to play What's in Teresa's Box later on, Jimmy, so stay tuned in.
That's always a fun game.
It's a scene of celebrities. A step down from me, but he's smoking too.
All right, we need to take a break. I know everyone wants to know when I destroyed my entire now. I'm tired.
No.
But, T, what's coming up in the news?
Well, you know the radio and TV correspondence dinner where the, it's kind of like a roast for politicians?
Mm-hmm.
President Bush was pretty funny, and then Karl Rove rapped.
Mm. Tell me, what is your name?
I'm MC Rove.
Yeah.
Why do I?
Oh my God! I saw it at the gym, and I didn't have headphones, and I thought they were all having epileptic fits. These old white bald-headed gray-headed dudes freaking out. I didn't know what it was. Thank God for that.
Well, we'll discuss that and also Idol eliminations more last night.
Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Destiny, you buried me.
There's more with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaduce coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
And cars. It's wrong way traffic on 107.7 The End.
Traffic is solid on eastbound 520 from I-5 to the water, and westbound from 92nd across the lake is awfully heavy, while I-90 looks great so far between Issaquah and Seattle, both directions. So take I-90 across the lake. Taking southbound I-5, very heavy and slow from 220th to 130th, and again approaching 520, while the express lane is only heavy near Stewart Street. And traveling southbound 405, bumper to bumper before 195th, off and on to Kirkland, northbound from the S-curves to Coal Creek Parkway is also crawling. This afternoon at 5, the Church of Laszlo announces the winner of End Velocity Trip Number 8 and gives them 10 minutes and 77 seconds to call back and claim the grand prize trip to Coachella. Keep listening today for your last chance to qualify. I'm Anna D. More traffic in 30 minutes. The Adam Carolla Show continues after this on 107.7 The End.
When your insult absolutely, positively has to get there, choose the FU line. The FU line is the fastest delivery service available in today's express insult industry. All insults are checked every step of the way, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Hey, this is Rick from Northgate. I'd like to throw out a big FU to the guy who stole my iPod and my phone out of my car last week. Hey, joke's on you, buddy. They're both broken.
When tomorrow is too late, use the FU line today. 206-577-2466. What can FU do for you?
Every year, in every season, we hear about disasters that take people's homes and lives. Disasters can strike anywhere. Floods, windstorms, earthquakes, chemical spills, even nuclear power accidents and acts of terrorism are real possibilities for which everyone must prepare. None of us know when or where disaster will strike, but we can be ready, resilient, and safe during emergencies by preparing in the following three ways. 1. Make a plan. Know the hazards in your area. Have an evacuation and communication plan with your family and practice it. 2. Build a kit. A minimum 3-day survival kit at home, in each car, at work, and at each child's school or daycare. And remember your pet's needs as well. 3. Get involved. Learn CPR and first aid. Talk with your neighbors about responding to emergencies in your neighborhood. For complete details, go to 3days3ways.org. This message is brought to you by your local Office of Emergency Management, the American Red Cross, and Singular, the new AT&T.
Kill him, my complexion is rotting out.
Seattle's alternative.
And Adam Carolla in the morning.
Caution.
After
Carolla Show.
On 107.7 The End.
Gents, definitely not a Jew. On the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Mount Pleasant, New York. After being pulled over for drunk driving, a 47-year-old exterminator attempted to escape custody by ramming his head through the police car window. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, that brings us nicely to our next segment, known as the News with Teresa Strasser.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
The 2007 Radio and Television Correspondents' Dinner went down last night. President Bush opened the festivities by thanking Virginia Senator Jim Webb. If you'll recall, his aide was recently arrested for trying to bring one of Webb's guns into a Senate building. Here is Bush.
Laura and I are happy to be here. I'd like to thank the Radio and TV Correspondents Association for providing dinner tonight. And I'd like to thank Senator Webb for providing security.
Nice.
And then, yeah, no, he had some even better stuff. Let's take a listen to a little more Bush.
Here.
Look at him move, doing a rapping dance. That's true. He's a dancing resident. He is a sidekick to the president. He's going way
good times with the correspondents.
It's been a strange moment in time if you just pulled every black person aside in, like, 1978 and went, good news, people. I know you're earning a nickel to every white man's dollar, and you're living a month for every year the white man lives. But soon, there will be a new genre of music that only one white guy named Eminem can do, and you guys will have pick of the litter. You'll have run of the place. There's officially not a white guy who can rap other than Eminem. Everyone tries, and then they think it's funny, but it's funny like watching dogs hump funny on one of those
right.
video shows on Deep Cable, not funny. John Stewart, funny,
right.
funny. watching a duck.
Let's add, it's all the white people that will be buying your music. 90% of the people that purchase your music that takes over the world
like
will be white.
I feel like if I pulled all of black society aside in 1978 and sat them down and explained that to them, it would have been. Would have been a good day,
well,
although
yes.
what a long line in front of that metal detector getting them into the auditorium.
Three white people were in the bottom of American Idol last night. It was elimination night. Haley Scarnato, she's the very pretty girl with the nice legs. Mm. Phil Stacey, he's the bald guy. And Chris Sly, he's the guy with the crazy hair. And he sang Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic. We listened to it a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
And I guess he kind of couldn't find the rhythm. He wasn't in the pocket, which I always thought was a football term.
It's always funny when you lose, you get to do the song that got you kicked off.
Yes. And that's always a weird moment.
No, is that a gimme? I didn't know that. That they always did the song that got them kicked off?
Well, they do the last song they did, and presumably
okay,
that's the
right.
one that got them
sure.
kicked off.
I never thought of it that way.
So it's like if it was like Teresa, that soliloquy. It was long-winded. It was dry. Your acting was horrible. And I couldn't stand the construction of it. Oh, good news. You get to do it again.
And that's how
nice.
We're going to remember you.
And that's how we'll remember
as
you.
As you try to have a career. So it was
that's
those,
how we won't remember you.
It was those three. And obviously, Chris Sly was eliminated. It was a little bit of a shock. But at one point, Ryan Seacrest turns to the judges.
Who have not said a word yet.
Right.
In the half-hour show that they're probably getting $50,000 for. Not a syllable has been uttered yet by any of the three judges, and I'm telling you, if you break it down, if you ever break down professional athletes and what they get, it's like, oh, hell, Peyton Manning's going to get $8 million next season. Well, break it down. He's getting over $1 million a game if they don't make the playoffs,
right.
or an $800,000 a game if they make, you know, obviously there's practice involved, but when you break down the pay scale, how many episodes, how long the show runs, so on and so forth, they're getting, I don't know, $50,000 to show up, $100,000 to show up. I mean, Simon Cowell may be getting hundreds of thousands of dollars.
$38 million a year.
For last night's appearance, Paula's probably getting, you know, $250,000.
Yeah. I would think that's possibly
it's
true.
It's not uttered a syllable yet, but let's hear what she has to say.
He asked their opinion on who's going home.
The last show for one of these two.
Randy, who's going home?
I don't know, man. It's really a tough call at this point, Rye. I don't know, dog. It's a hard call. I don't know.
Paula?
Never a fun time. Never a fun time. I think you both deserve really great, great warmth from the audience. Love
here
you.
Here comes some candor from Simon, I'm sure. Simon, I know you don't know the results. Who do you think is going?
I think it's bye-bye, Curly.
If we had just if there was a styrofoam cup of soup sitting there where Paula was there and a mop leaning against Randy's mic, I think I would have more insight as to what was going on.
At least you know what it did for a living. It mopped things.
Yes. Geez.
What exactly does Paula Abdul do for $250,000 per episode? I'm not really sure. What does that $6 mop from Kmart do? It mops the floor.
Well, I will defend her. In the past few weeks, she's been very lucid and actually made some interesting points. Last night, though...
Someone is asking you which artist. Right. There are two artists on stage that you've been following since you met one in Milwaukee and the other in Kentucky 6 months ago. Now you've seen front and center their last performance 20 feet in front of you, and someone is asking your professional opinion. Which one deserves to stay? Which one deserves to go? And you got
and in this one, the devil has won. In my opinion, and I take it from the movie Broadcast News, all the devil would really do is lower your standards just a little bit. And what has happened here is this drunk chick that can barely say her name for 250 G's an episode said a couple sentences that were okay by you. And instead of you going, hey, the drunk pig got one out. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, you know, I'm going to come to her defense. She really is. She's terrible. She's
to be fair,
awful.
She doesn't drink, I believe. If anything, she does prescription drugs.
I apologize from the bottom of my heart. A prescription drug. I now have a problem with Vicodin because of Paula Abdul.
Really?
I can't stand watching her and Randy do nothing every week. Let's hear it again. One more time. Play it again. These are the two experts. They've been following these two kids for the last 4 months.
Yes.
Here's the insight they offer.
Haley and Chris stand before them.
The last show for one of these two. Randy, who's going home?
I don't know, man. It's really a tough call at this point, Rye. I don't know, dog. It's a hard call.
He doesn't know.
Paula?
Never a fun time. Never a fun time. I think you both deserve really great, great warmth from the audience. Love
here comes
you.
Here comes some candor from Simon, I'm sure. Simon, I know you don't know the results. What do you think?
I wish as a carpenter, I see I have a field of expertise in carpentry like Paula has in music and Randy has in music. I wish someone would pay me $150,000 and I would show up at their house and they would go, well, the door's rubbing. Should we plane the door or do you want to just try to get the jam back in true? And I'd go, I don't know, man. That's $30,000, by the way.
Sorry, buddy. Ty Pennington has that job.
The knob's a little pitchy.
Not in the pocket.
Anyway, where's my $50,000?
How do you fix that house? I don't know. Sorry we gave that job to Ty.
That pocket door's not in the pocket.
I don't know about that. All right. Let's hear what Simon. I want to hear what Simon had to say if we can figure that one out. Because he speaks. He was
in no uncertain terms, he said that Chris would be going home.
Again, he gets to be the genius because he is bookended literally by bookends. Most people get bookended by people. Those two are as insightful as bookends, and he is the genius. You know what he is? He's the mediocre sandwich meat that tastes delectable because it's between two stale pieces of bread.
Okay.
You understand? People, the bread on the outside of that Simon sandwich is so stale and so old that when you bite into it, you go, well, this meat is the only good thing about this sandwich. He does a decent job. They are so bad that he seems like a genius.
He's the good feeling you get when you stop hitting yourself in the face with a bat.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's what it is.
Not that great in the beginning, but once you stop hitting yourself with a bat, it looks great.
Well, you just heard two people not form a sentence.
Right.
All you have to say is three things that we understand, and you're the smartest one in the room.
And he correctly predicted that Chris Sly would be going home. He had a 50-50 chance. There were two people standing there, but he did predict correctly.
Well, let's hear it.
Here comes some candor from Simon, I'm sure. Simon, I know you don't know the results. Who do you think is going?
I think it's bye-bye, Curly.
It's a little harsh when he said that.
But such sweet relief after seeing those two drool right. for the last 20 minutes.
It's true. It's nice when somebody has a concise opinion instead of hemming and hawing.
Or any opinion. Right? It's nice or not.
I don't know, dog.
Well, Gwen Stefani teamed
up. I can't tell you.
Yes. Gwen Stefani teamed up with rapper Akon.
Hold on. I just want to be, I'm going to be Randy and Paula for one news story.
Okay.
All right. This is it.
Oh, good. Oh, cool. I'm going to play you their song, The Sweet Escape, and then Randy and Paula can say what they think of Gwen Stefani's
not
vision.
About music. It's just about news. That's my job. I'm doing my job. It's supposed to be okay. smart and funny while you do the news.
Gotcha. Okay, here was Gwen. A little bit of her singing.
I saw it.
Do you think her voice sounds that same ska quality that it used to, or is she more rock now?
I'm going to move on to Scott Weiland. We talked about him yesterday.
I don't know, dog.
there was some trouble with Scott Weiland, formerly of Stone Temple Pilots, and his wife. They trashed a hotel room in Burbank, and then she allegedly torched $10,000 worth of his clothes on the lawn.
I don't know. Good looking out. Yeah.
And
it's all right.
Yes.
Sorry. Just sorry.
He's had a public struggle with drugs, but now Mary, his wife, issued a statement blaming her behavior on an imbalance due to not taking her bipolar medication.
She gets a little pitchy.
She said, quote, with regards to this past weekend's events, it's important to my husband and I that the reports regarding domestic violence, as well as our children's safety, contain facts and not speculations.
Yeah, I don't know, dog.
This weekend.
That statement didn't work for me. You know?
Now I know how Simon feels because I do want to kill you.
Because I don't even know. I'm trying to work my way in and ask a question.
No,
it's just like
rough.
Such death. You just want to stay away from it.
She also said that the medications used to treat my bipolar disorder were responsible. Reports that we were fighting at the Grace Yellow Hotel are untrue. Scott was simply trying to help calm me down.
Good looking out. Yeah, the statement was a little pitchy. I don't know. I liked last week's statement a little bit. Not her best statement. Just not her best, not her worst. You know.
Give me my $1 million.
Cut 75K.
Are you interested in hearing about the world's tallest man?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, this is hard. This is harder than I thought. I really do feel for Simon.
I know. I'm actually sweating.
Me too.
I really don't know what to do with myself.
I know.
Good looking.
I'm thinking about just wrapping the news now. I can't go on.
50 bucks. You have to do the whole story.
50?
Yeah.
All right. I can be bought, but it's going to take a little bit more than 50 bucks. Okay, so the world's tallest man, how tall would you think that guy is?
I don't know,
8'3".
That seemed tall. You know.
Paula, how tall?
He was tall last week.
Randy, how tall would the tallest man be?
You know, this pitchy, you know, 8 foot or 9 foot or 10 foot or
what
7 foot or 3 foot.
Bloody hell. Was that?
He's from Inner Mongolia?
He's so tall that Superman couldn't leap him in a single bound. That was my son.
Well, it's the difference between him and the gal he married is chalk and cheese. This guy is 7'9". He's the tallest man alive. He's in Inner Mongolia.
Right,
and he married a woman 5'6". That makes her 30% shorter.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill myself.
But it also makes her my height. That's a tall Mongolian chick.
Yeah.
You know, because I know my Mongolian chicks.
Do you?
Yeah, that's a tall one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tall glass or whatever they drink.
I don't know.
Well, she's
just all right.
Yes.
You know, the marriage is just all right for me.
Well, how do you feel about the age difference? He's 56 and she's 28.
Pitchy.
Not as interesting as the height difference.
There's also a money difference. He's a herdsman and she works in sales.
Herdsman. Hold on, I got to snap out of it.
All right,
thank you.
Oh, herdsman sounds
awful.
Herdsman sounds like he backed a band in the 50s. It's like, you know, Frankie Valli and the Herdsmen. That's like being a Jordanaire or something. He's one of the Herdsmen. Where were you guys? Did you sing bass? No, I physically heard things.
We hold those big crooks like Moses.
Yes. By the way, 8 foot herdsman.
7 foot nine.
Not a great herdsman. Build for herdsmen.
No, you wouldn't think so.
You want to be short and squatty. You want to build like a badger you if you're a herder.
Apparently, if you want to be a herdsman.
Yeah, you want to be a Bonaducci. Those are herders.
If he's a herdsman at 7 foot 9, meaning he's ambulatory, because most of those guys are really sick. Joints are real bad. Well, why isn't he playing basketball for somebody yet?
Yeah, maybe he's herding pigeons.
Right, from the, right out of the sky.
All right, now I'm going back to Randy now.
No, you're killing me, man.
But it makes us appreciate the real you.
Yeah, good looking
remember,
man.
Remember when the show was good?
Yeah, the comments were insightful and interesting. Yeah. Okay, I've got one last story for you. There was a fire, but it was not your typical fire. Police responded to the smell of smoke, and what they found was that there was a fire in the middle of an old school bus that had been converted into a super-size oven. It had exhaust fans and a working fire. It was a red and white old school bus, and it caught flame. Police had to put it out. The guy said he thought it would be a good idea to turn the school bus into an oven because they're sturdily built.
Mm.
And I know what you're thinking.
German cat? I mean, good looking out? I mean,
definitely not a Jew.
You can't stop making jokes. Yeah, it's just all right.
Oh, this is killing me. Because if this was Adam, this would have been great.
Where's my money?
I think what he's doing is reminding us when Adam comes back, we're all. It's much like when we stop hitting each other in the head with a hammer.
That's right. You'll miss Adam.
I'm telling you, it's 7:55 here. I'm telling you, by 8:10, we're all going to go, God, that Adam's a genius.
I'm just doing it for the news.
The man who turned his bus, his school bus, into a bakery.
Shirley Partridge.
Not soon enough.
Hasidic rabbi.
What?
Wow.
I broke you. You want a comment? I know you do. Hasidic rabbi making matzah.
Good looking out.
What Jew turns their bus into an oven?
Good.
You could go so many directions with this, Adam.
Yeah, but I don't even want to do that. Good looking out.
All right, you're holding your ground. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
I was a little pitchy, that news. Deaf rat guy. Up next with Mike Swick. Mike Swick, I don't know if he's a UFC fighter. I think he is a UFC fighter. Yeah. Certainly mixed martial arts guy with quite an impressive record getting into the octagon in a couple of few. He's the deaf rat guy is now managing a UFC fighter. He was going to go at it with Kobayashi, but something happened to Kobayashi along the way. I don't know if he's in Japan training or he's over at the...
You're talking about the competitive eater who always wins at Coney Island.
Yes, I am. He is not able to be reached via the phone, but that doesn't matter. We got Def Rat Guy and the Ultimate Fighter next on the Adam Carolla Show.
You and your band want to play on stage at NFest 16? DeVry University and iamine.com are giving you that chance. Log on to 1077thend.com and click the Battle of the Bands logo or go to 1077thend.iamine.com. Upload your song or music video and you and your band may just be on stage for NFest 16.
Where is that?
At Harbor Homes, our trademark is quality, choice, and value for a reason. We make it our top priority to offer more choices and the most flexibility when it comes to personalizing your new home. Find out more by maximizing your browser now and clicking on our banner. New home shopping online at harborhomes.com has never been easier. Enjoy skillful design and quality craftsmanship with intelligent details for ease in everyday living in your new Harbor Home. Offered from the 300s to 500s, many of our carefully planned commuter-friendly neighborhoods feature views, parks, greenbelt home sites, and easy access to recreation. Enjoy entertaining and dramatic living spaces and cooking in your spacious gourmet kitchen featuring stainless steel appliances, hardwood floors, butler's pantry, and much more. Maximize your browser now and click on our banner to request more information. You'll find everything you need for your next new home purchase at harborhomes.com. That's H-A-R-B-O-U-R homes.com. Quality, choice, and value. That's Harbor Homes.
I lost my heart.
77theend.com.
The Pulse Alternative.
1077 The End. The Adam Carolla Show
on 107.7 The End.
His ears don't work, but he can still do funnels. And he got thrown out of the teaks. So he started Delta Fu Gamma DFG.
Hell yeah.
And have a stew with Moose and Poochie. His phone got ripped off by gypsies. And he's
guy kind of pulled a scam off an old wound there with those gypsies that screwed you guys over in Havasu. Did you ever get to the bottom of that? Did you ever find those chicks?
Bro, I was already in a pre-peeled mood.
Oh, I see. You're already
and
in a
you
bad
had to bring that up.
Well, dude, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, right off the bat because it's 8:04 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
you have my client waiting on the phone for 45 minutes.
Mike Swick.
This is not amateur hour.
No, I understand. I just want to make sure your head's in a good place after the gypsy stole your cell phone and your wallet and everything in Havasu last year.
F those hoes, bro.
Okay. All right. So you're not angry at them anymore?
Hell yeah, I'm pissed. Or whatever. You can stay on the radio.
Well, what if one of them was listening right now? Would you have a message for
it would put them one up on him.
We'll find you. And when we do, I promise you this, baby. You will not be able to sit down for a week.
Oh, wow. All right, so Mike Swick is a UFC fighter. He's going to be fighting Saturday, April 7th. It's going to be on pay-per-view. It's coming up again Saturday, April 7th. UFC 69, you must dig that. You are managing Mike Swick, yes?
Yeah, old school, like Bobby the Brain Heenan.
This is old school. Now, here's the deal. Mike is undefeated in the UFC. He's 11-1 overall in mixed martial arts competition, which is really good You're surprised when you find out guys like Chuck Liddell, the biggest name in the sport, is like 17-4 or something like that. They don't have crazy impressive records like they do in boxing. They can't fight the tomato cans. He's going up against a guy who's Yushi Akami. How do you pronounce that last name? Well, we have Mike Swick on the phone. Mike? Oh, did I punch him up? No, wrong one.
Why did you hang up on a client?
No, I just punched him
up. This is the kind of thing that Poochie's uncle thinks is wrong with the show, right, Maverick?
It's the one I just punched, Mike.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, bro?
Mike, how do you pronounce the guy you're fighting? What's his name?
Yushin Okami.
Yushin Okami, and his record is what?
It's 20-3.
20-3, and you're 11-1, so this is a pretty solid middleweight matchup going down in the octagon on April 7th. We have competitive eating champ Kobayashi, who's now popped on the phone. I guess Yushin is a countryman of his, so he'd like to talk him up. Kobayashi?
Always had a festive mood.
Wow. In a death of a fat guy. Oh, God. He's like a Laurel in a Hardy.
Now, hold on, Kobe.
Dumb and dumber.
Wait a minute.
Oh, God.
Mike, try to restrain yourself for a second. This is Kobayashi. He's trying to get inside your head, man.
You're gonna get yours, bro.
Right to death. Mike, you are
clumsy. Well, now, hold on a second, Kobayashi. Now, hold on.
Mike, you are like a Ralph Macchio in a Karate Kid.
Don't listen to him, bro.
Ralph Macchio wins in Karate Kid.
Yeah, but he's still playing.
You know what the funny is? The fat guy does not hear anything I was just now saying.
Now, this man has a disability, Kobayashi.
So does Mike Swick. He is going to lose.
No, bro. I may not hear it, bro, but there are going to be two sounds. Mike Swick hitting the other guy and then him hitting the floor.
Hold on a second, Kobayashi. Kobayashi's out of control. I'm putting him on hold for a second.
Response?
Yes. Mike, I'm sorry. What do you have to say about this?
I could barely understand him.
That's right. Well,
he's calling from Japan.
It wasn't
not on the phone. He's just screaming.
There wasn't words of praise.
I know he started talking about my boy Ralph Macchio, though.
Yeah.
He compared you to Ralph Macchio. What do you make of that?
Hey, man, like you said, he won, right? That's kind of what got me in this whole thing.
Really?
Are you serious?
Yeah, you know, you watch it on TV, and you're like, wow, that looks pretty good profession. So
next thing you know, you're
fighting in Taekwondo tournaments, and one thing leads to another, and you're staring across the octagon at some really mean-looking Japanese dude who wants to beat you up.
That's exactly what it's like, I swear to God, when some famous musician says, oh, you were my inspiration to get into music, to me. You know, Ralph Macchio was Swick's hero growing up.
Yeah. Why is he hero?
But I mean, got you into it, got you started.
Right. The guy who played the bass guitar.
Help, you know, and you know, you see that, and you get inspired to do something and chase your dreams and.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt that way about Flash.
Imagine if you're a musician watching a 10-year-old Bonaducci play a bass with no guitar, play with no strings attached to it, playing air bass, and that's your inspiration. Hey, Mike.
Yep.
How you feeling? How's the training going?
going good. You know, it'll be 12 weeks by the time I get to the fight, so it's the longest I've ever trained for a specific fight, and I feel great. So,
So you feel strong.
Definitely.
All right, well, hang on for a second. I'm going to get Kobayashi back.
Let's talk about the after party, dude, the victory party. We are going to rage it up, bro.
All right, hold on. Who knows if you're going to have a victory party? Kobayashi says no.
Oh, God. Why even a train? You are going to train to lose? You might as well not to train and lose anyway.
Well, Kobayashi... Kobayashi really hails from Japan. I imagine the same place Yushin Akami hails from, and he's a countryman.
Yo, Kawasaki, or whatever the F your name is, bro. Where the hell did they grow you, dude? We kicked your ass four times. World War II, World War I, Korea, Nam. And Swink will go get you again, bro.
All right, so Kobayashi, any predictions about the fight on April 7th?
Oh, Adam, you know I have a great respect for you.
I'm waiting for that.
But I have a respect for deaf and dumb guy. And Michael Swick also has a disability also.
What is that?
It's a Yoshin Akami.
He's a pony.
You are dead.
Don't listen to him, bro.
You don't listen because you can't hear.
Kobayashi, are you going to be at the fight on April 7th?
Oh, yes, sir. I am going to be there. I'm going to have a hot dog and everything.
Kobayashi, have you ever lost in an eating competition?
I never lose. That's one thing that Japanese people do not lose. We do not lose, ever. Yeah. And even if we do, we deny it to the death.
All right, Mike, we'll be watching. On...
Wait, let me take turn to Kobayashi.
Yeah,
go eat another Frank, you scumbag.
Well, yeah, deaf guy.
Is he speaking Japanese? I have no idea what he is saying, and he has no idea what I am saying.
Yeah, I can read it on the screen, scumbag. Go have another wiener.
Hey, Mike, quickly, Mike Swick, parting words before we see you enter the octagon on the 7th.
It's going to be a great fight, and obviously, I think it's going to be my best fight ever, so I think Kobayashi is going to have to put his own reaction.
Well, Kobayashi is going to be ringside on the 7th. We'll be watching on pay-per-view.
Mike Swick and this Japanese guy, this fight is going to look like Danny Bonaduce when he fights transvestite hooker.
Yeah, I kicked his ass.
Yeah, you sure did.
Mike, don't listen to them, bro.
What are you going to tell your fighter?
This is motivation. This is free motivation for my client.
All right, Kobayashi, I'm going to let you get back to the training table, literally.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you.
It's great reverence for me. I love that.
I have so much respect for you.
Thank you, Kobayashi.
I have no respect.
I'm bowing as we speak, my brother.
I'm bowing too.
The great Kobayashi, a champion in his own right, Def Rat Guy, you have to tip your hat to the man.
Yeah, he can eat more wieners than any guy I know. Big deal.
Well, he holds the crown.
He's going to eat his words, too.
Good man. Nice dad. And I like that Kobayashi dude.
I don't know what he's been smoking, but his client is going to get his ass kicked by my client.
Good.
Deaf Rat Guy, from your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah, I don't like that Kobayashi dude.
By the way, Maverick, I understand that DeafRatGuy.com, your website, has been revamped, and you have some T-shirts for sale.
Yes, that's true. DeafRatGuy.com has been revamped, and I have new T-shirts for sale.
What do these T-shirts say?
There's one that says, "If you're not wasted, today is."
Is that your best seller?
No, the other one, it's a, it's like those Darwin fish things, but it says beer bong. And then it has a funnel at the end of the fish.
I like that. I'd buy one of those.
I'm going to buy both of them.
It says it's like the highest evolution you can get.
Right. All right. Well, Mike Swick going up against Yushin Akami in UFC 69 Saturday, April 7th. Def Rat Guy now managing UFC fighters will be there. Kobayashi will be there. It'll be a battle royale. We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, March Madness, everybody. What makes me the maddest? Required front license plates is going up against the length of the baseball season. Is that true? Neither one of them have been eliminated thus far. All right.
Wow.
Winner goes to the Final Four.
Winner going to the Final Four. We'll do March Madness next on the Adam Carolla Show.
There's more with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaduce coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
Northeast 175th. That's partially blocking the right lane. Actually, it's just cleared over the shoulder completely. So, still going 205th Street to the scene still. But again, approaching Lexington to the Ship Canal Bridge, express lanes will serve you a lot better. It's only heavy near the convention center. And northbound I-5, difficult from the south end of Boeing Field in a town. That stalled vehicle northbound I-5 at Holgate has cleared completely as well. Brought to you by the members of the National Association of Realtors. Thinking about buying a home? Interest rates are low and home choices are abundant. Every market's different. Call a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors. I'm Anna D. More traffic in 30 minutes. The Adam Carolla Show continues after this on 107.7 The End. Yeah.
This is a mob mode. This is the mob mode. is a modern world. This is a modern world.
Corolla Show on 107.7 The End. Call Adam at 866-901-ADAM.
March Madness on the Adam Carolla Show.
Our lawyer said we couldn't use the phrase March Madness.
Or Final Four.
We had to add a word, so we added madness again.
Well, do you want to know who's advanced to the Final Four from yesterday's matchup?
Yeah, no, people in got on
March
to...
Madness.
So they got on to AdamCarolla.com, and they voted. Yesterday, you made an impassioned plea for red turn arrows and also warning stickers. But it is red turn arrows that will advance to the Final Four. By a not-so-slim margin of about 150 points.
Hey, bracket buster for Mike Lynch.
And Jay.
So who's leading the bracket?
Stickers going to the finals. I think I'm doing it because I have national pride going all the way. Jay had stickers winning. So.
Wow.
National pride has advanced to the Final Four, as has left turn arrows.
And the show has reached a new low.
And now, the long baseball season takes on... front plate.
Wow.
You know what? I'm going to take my shoes off like I'm entering a dojo.
Okay.
God. He's getting all into character today.
Aishidoshi.
I hope Kobayashi doesn't call back.
Or Randy Jackson.
No.
Yeah, maybe I should do the final four in our March Madness. Madness is Randy Jackson. Hey, front license plates. I don't know, dog.
Just all right for me.
It's all right. Well, do you think we should have front license plates? Front bumper's a little pitchy. There you go. Where's my money? Where's my money?
Is the long baseball season in the pocket?
I am going to say more in the next 4 minutes than Randy and Paula combined in one season.
Oh, yeah.
Of American Idol.
I think you just did describing that you would.
An interesting point.
Sweet irony.
All right. So, first up, we're ready. Front license plates. Forget about the fuzz, forget about the man, forget about the number he's assigned to your vehicle, which essentially is you when you're in your vehicle, so he can take a picture of it and send it back so your wife can scream at you because she opens the mail because you're out busting your hump paying taxes every day and you can't be home to receive the mail that has the $304 fine that says you want through the intersection a goddamn hummingbird's heartbeat later than you should have and were hit by the strobe light, which by the way, whenever they find out those things aren't calibrated correctly, what direction do you think they're not calibrated correctly? In the favor of the city for the chicken-ass tickets? Or are they a few minutes late so that the man can get to work to pay his taxes? You guys all just close your eyes and you figure out when they do the investigations as to how these lights are calibrated, who they're in favor of, and I think you'll know who's in whose hip pocket. But forget about all that. What about pure aesthetics? There's some guy down at the design center who's working away on a piece of clay, carving it into a beautiful shape of a Corvette, a Z car, a Camaro, an Audi, whatever it is. It isn't made. Today's modern cars aren't made to have a front license plate. They have a beautiful front balance. And then you take this thing like a third teat, put on the small of the back of a beautiful supermodel, and ruin the date for the ace man. Well, I'll tell you something right now. My plate's off. And drop your pants while you're at it. I'm Adam Carolla, I'm American.
Wow.
Now, the baseball season. Well, Chevrolet and apple pie, that's fine. But baseball, that dirge that wouldn't die, that 162-game patient that's been hooked up to life support in some sort of hospice-like environment that just wouldn't die so we could collect the insurance and go out and buy a keg, that's baseball season. Again, at 162 games, each game is less than one percentage point. You lose, you don't lose a full game, you lose two-thirds of a game. We can't decide who the best team is in 100 games. We need closer to 200 games. And then there's 30 games of spring training. And then there's the playoffs. And then there's the wild card. We now play 563 games in the course of a baseball season that would never end. And everyone's so sanctified. acrimonious about it. Oh, the Dodgers aren't a skid. They've lost three in a row. Oh, the Dodgers have won three in a row. Oh, no, they've lost four. They've won five out of the last seven. Of course, they play 162 games. When will it end? Put a fork in this turkey. It's done. Let's ring in the football season. 16 games of a game that we love versus 162 of something I wouldn't hump with a 10-foot penis. Please, bury it in the mound. Throw the rosin bag on it. It's done. I'm Adam Carolla. I'm an American.
Okay, who will advance to the final four, joining National Pride and Red Turn Arrows?
Got to see spring training on SportsCenter.
That was the buzzer.
Yeah, okay.
Go to AdamCarolla.com, and let me remind you, you are voting. Which makes you the more mad? Front plates, the third teat on a supermodel?
Mm-hmm.
Or the too long baseball season, a hospice patient that should be euthanized?
Okay. I don't want to influence anybody, but I'm just wondering what the problem was, the third boob on a hot chick.
Well, all right, two is symmetrical.
You throw two on her back for slow dancing.
Yeah. All right, two, but one.
All right, yeah.
It throws you off. It's got a carnival-like, sideshow-esque vibe to it.
Imagine being able to dance to that song, Feelings, while actually getting some feelings right there in the bag. That'd be cool.
Well, I have a feeling people should log on to AdamCarolla.com and cast their votes.
Done.
Oh, you're such a pro.
By the way, when did your name and nationality become
the end of this?
I love that.
When I ran out of stuff to talk about 45 seconds into a two-minute rant.
Pros, though. The guy from Pros versus Joe.
Petros Papadakis. One of my favorite sports guys from the hand tailback for USC in the early 90s, mid-90s.
Back when they weren't
All right,
so good.
Later. Wow.
Those were tough
so
times.
Funny. He looks young. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll talk a little Final Four with him and also some Pros versus Joes next on the Adam Carolla Show.
There's more with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaduce coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
107.7 The End. After Adam Carolla, it's DJ No Name, the Northwest's only member of the Professional Disc Jockey Hall of Fame.
Today's show, 10 times better than this promo.
DJ W No Name. After Adam Carolla on 107.7 The End. What's going on?
SBR Radio. This is
107.7!
1077 The End, Seattle's alternative.
Second season, Thursdays. Well, it's tonight, 10 p.m. on Spike.
Season finale, Adam.
Oh, really? What happens tonight?
Bunch of pros, bunch of Joes going at it. It's wild.
Which pros?
We got Randall Cunningham tonight. Bruce Smith, who was not a nice man.
What's the guy from Happy Days going to do?
Which guy from Happy Days?
Cunningham. He can't play any sports.
No, it's Randall, the guy from UNLV, the tall African-American quarterback, younger brother of Sam Cunningham, Danny.
Oh,
he didn't go to Taft. You might not know him. He didn't go to Taft.
Hey,
he's from Santa Barbara.
Quarterback for Philly for a lot of
Patrick,
years.
What was wrong with Bruce Smith? You said he wasn't a nice man.
He was just mean. He's just an angry D lineman. Like, his first day after he was in pads, I was like, well, you ready for tomorrow? He's like, I'm going to pads again. I was like, yeah, but it says right here, oh my God, he just started calling his agent. I was like, what are you scared of? These dudes are like 110 pounds, and you're Bruce Smith. You're like the sack leader in the history of the NFL and all that. I think he is.
And officially the blackest man on the planet.
Is that true?
He's pretty black.
Even Deacon Jones could have a black off.
Well, have you ever seen Deacon's teeth? Because they're fake, and they're just pearly white. I mean, whiter than the face of God.
Right.
I mean, unbelievable teeth. I did a poker tournament once with Deacon Jones, the great L.A. Ram, who probably would be the sack leader in the history of the NFL if they recorded sacks back then.
Mm-hmm.
Love the menthols. Skinny menthols. Oh, just sucking them back.
It was a simpler time when athletes smoked. The thing about Deacon Jones that I thought was the funniest is I heard him interviewed, and this interview's from the 70s or 80s or something, and they were asking Deacon Jones, what was your technique for getting to the quarterback? How did you get to the quarterback?
Head slap.
Because you have to get by a 300-pound guy in order to get to a 175-pound guy. How do you do it? And he said the head slap. Now, they've since outlawed the head slap. But he said, and he's explaining very seriously to this reporter, he goes, I figured out that when you go upside a man or a woman's head, they will be disoriented.
The
funny thing is, he took the time to include women into this.
But was he lying? Was it not true?
Look, if it works on a 300-pound guy, it's going to work on a 108-pound broad, that's for sure. I thought it was one of these things where he was probably trying to be even-handed, like when you go, the next president, if he
or she
happens to agree with my policy. Yeah. But he did that, except for it was a head slap.
If there's not a man that he or she will take one to the head.
He's a bit too old for Pros versus Joes. We can't get him. I mean, he's just pretty wrinkly and beat down. But Randy Couture is on tonight.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. He likes to twist dudes up when he does that.
I got to say, I saw the episode where the guys got into the octagon with Randy and the
That was
pros.
Awful. I felt bad.
I did, too. Like, you know, here's the thing, and you know, truthfully, I'm not just blowing smoke at Pros versus Joes or Joes versus Pros.
It's Pros versus Joes. I made that mistake like the first day.
Pros versus
Welcome
Joes.
Welcome back to Joes versus Pros. Cut.
Right. But.
And when you don't know, even though it's a simple error, well, maybe you don't have the reputation I have, but if it's a simple error and you screw up the name of your own show, they never let you down. It's like, don't you think maybe you should know the name of your show?
Well, it was a new show at that point.
Back to breaking
it now. Welcome back to Breaking Bonaparte.
Yeah.
I mean, Bonaducci.
There's not that big of a difference.
Anyway, I was watching when Randy Couture, who they call the Natural over at the UFC's an animal, was going at it with the regular guys in the octagon. And yeah, there's a lot of these shows where you think, please, come on. And you think Sugar Ray Leonard's really going to punch somebody, or do you think Bruce Smith is really going to sack someone? Well, Randy Couture really twisted these guys up into pretzels because they had to tap out. And they got like six tap outs in 4 minutes in the octagon, each with them. The point is that was sad and scary. He wanted guys that were in good shape and strong and everything, and were basically getting him into submission holds, and these guys were having to tap out and then hop on their feet and go at it again because the clock was running.
Yeah, he's back on the finale, and so is Roy Jones Jr., who accidentally called Roy Williams. Because, you know, I'm a football guy, and we're in the middle of football season when we're taping. And
DB for Dallas.
Yeah, Roy Williams, or the coach at North Carolina, the basketball coach, Deputy Dog, the guy
who
looks
like... How
about
Roy Jones Jr., possibly the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world for a while?
He was pissed. I mean, I kept calling him Roy. And you're going to get in the ring with Roy Williams. Cut!
This is Joe's versus Pros, and you're going in with Roy Rogers.
I'm your host, Pot Roast Poopinakis.
Well, the thing about jocks is at least celebrities, or a lot of celebrities, not the ones that were child stars, Mr. Sure. Bonaducci, but some of us didn't, our little flowers didn't bloom until we had been humbled by life. You know,
I got humbled by life as an adult.
I was 30 and didn't have a lick of success up until 30 in a few months, so I was already who I was. The cement had dried in my brain. Right. I couldn't change that much. These jocks, when you're walking around and you're head and shoulders taller than everyone in your class and you're jamming a basketball in the eighth grade, or you're playing on the varsity team in the ninth grade and you're getting recruited by college scouts when you're still in junior high, you have an attitude. Yeah, and you've had one your whole life.
I collect people's Adam's apples for fun and stuff like that.
Well, you played football at USC.
I did, you're right.
Do you have an attitude?
No, I've been humbled by life. I used to. I mean, there was a time where, you know, I mean, I felt like I could jump over a building and beat everybody up. You know, I was a pretty good running back. I was, you know, okay.
He was captain of the USC team. The only team to finish last in the past.
Yeah, the worst. The worst in the history of the university.
But look, if you can play at that level for a school like SC with a tradition of tailbacks that,
you're getting a lot of tail.
A lot of Heisman trophies.
I turned out to be legally crippled, though, after my career. Like, seriously, I spent about 7 months in a hospital. I had a really bad foot injury, and then staph infections and all that. So when you can run around and do all these amazing things, and then, you know, in a split second, and literally that's what it takes, in a split second, you know, you're laid up in a hospital bed for 6 months with a, you know, catheter and a PICC line. You know, things change pretty quickly, and that kind of changed my attitude. It really did change, you know, kind of humbled me toward a lot of things. And we didn't get a lot of tail being the bad team that we were. I mean, USC is a place where there's a great division between, you know, the athletic department and all the athletes who are, you know, mainly African-American or you know, just, you know, not Buffy and Biff, you know, white BMW. So if you're not winning, you know, the sorority chicks kind of creep over to your house at night. It's kind of like they're slumming it, you know, and they don't want to tell their friends that, you know, maybe they're having sex with a football player.
They lead through the back door.
Yeah, they really do. It was
always got to go there, don't you?
You played with Carson Palmer.
Yeah,
you played with
Troy. Recruited Carson.
Really?
Yeah, I recruited his punk ass.
He went to, was he in the...
Santa Margarita High. Uh-huh. Santa Margarita High down in Orange County. Just born and bred to be a quarterback. Just
your high school's named after a cheap casino. Doesn't it just sound like a knockoff casino?
It's like a private school. It was like a private school. He was a freak. He was a specimen freak, but he led the Pac-10 in interceptions when he was
And what about
us.
Troy Polamalu over of the crazy Hawaiian DB over
Yeah, but
at Pittsburgh.
From 10 Mile, Oregon. I mean, he was from the middle of nowhere, so he showed up and he was just clueless. I took him to his first concert. I took him to see Gregory Isaacs, who's a reggae singer, and he got so excited. He's a real quiet guy that goes to bed at 7 o'clock at night reading the Bible and stuff like
Troy.
That. Yeah, and once once Gregory hit the stage, who's like an 80-year-old reggae singer with no teeth, he's like a crackhead, his dreadlocks are falling out. Troy got so excited, literally, on the floor of the House of Blues in Anaheim, tackled me to the floor.
Did he have crazy hair? Well, he can't
At that point, he had like, you know, kind of a mini Samoan fro, which became, you know, what it is now, which is just completely out of control.
You know, I feel like with Troy, if he's not tackling something every 4 minutes, he's not alive. Like, you know, when you take a bird, you take a parrot or something, and you put it in the cage, it'll go ahead and chew on a salt, whatever. But if you take it out, it'll chew on a piece of furniture. It'll chew on something. Troy Polamalu must just tackle
everything.
Once
practice was over, and I already had like two whiskeys in me and like two Marlboro Lights, he was still out there, full uniform, by himself, in the dark, setting up a tackling dummy, tackling it, getting up, setting it up after like a 3-hour practice.
What team is this guy on?
He's on Steelers.
He plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, so he's a beautiful.
Might be Mario Lopez's sister's husband.
No, it's Alex Holmes' sister's husband.
Oh, it is?
She's married to Troy. Theodora Holmes. Alex is a tight end for the Dolphins.
He's the guy with the crazy hair who gets tackled by his
hair. He's a beautiful football player to watch. I mean, nobody really he's like a missile. I mean, he zeroes in and closes and
but
has
I'll
zero regard.
Because I know the Samoan people well, an even better student.
He was Troy was a cerebral guy. He was a cerebral guy that was interested in things. Never get a Samoan mixed up with a Tongan, though.
No.
Is he Tongan or Samoan?
No, that's a bad deal.
No, Troy is
Samoan.
Right.
Tongans have kind of bugged out eyes more, I guess.
Whose calves are bigger?
They're not tattooed.
Who's got a bigger
calf? Who's got bigger cankles?
Yeah.
I would have to go with the Samoan people.
Uh-huh.
And the Tongans have the bug eyes because they do it on purpose. They practice
it. They're not tattooed.
Right.
And they, I guess, and I got my history screwed up and I'll probably killed when I leave, but I guess the Tongans at some time or another, before the Mormons got there, enslaved the Samoans and ate them.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So they do not.
Their calves got so big.
They do not like each other.
They're like USC and UCLA.
Sort of like that, but with cannibalism.
But you know what I really like about Petros is that he thinks we are so popular that there's actually going to be an angry group of Tongans outside of our mass demographic.
I've been through worse.
We do well with Samoans, but we're still trying to get the number.
You guys are huge in Wilmington. Remember the Booyah Tribe?
We're number 3 in time spent listening with Tongans.
Remember the Booyah Tribe? Remember that rap group, the Booyah Tribe from Wilmington?
Yeah.
Tongans? Right down the street.
All right, Petros Papadakis, everyone. Pros versus Joes. You now know why he's amongst our favorite guests on the show. Second season tonight, the big finale. See Roy Johnson Jr. Roy Jones Jr. and Randy Couture, who does not. There's no half speed.
Oh, Tim Hardaway on the show too.
Tim Hardaway.
Was this before the incident?
Way before. Racist bigot joining us now. I tried to voice it over, but they wouldn't let us. Tim Hardaway.
I hate gay people.
I let it be known. I let it be known.
Spike TV. I like when guys apologize for saying horrible things by going, but that's the way I think.
Yeah. You know what? In all honesty, he was like the nicest guy out there. People loved him. Like, he was on, and then we brought, you know, if we bring you back for the finale, it's like, you know, you were cool.
We liked you
a lot. And he showed up, and it was like, you know, Jesus coming into Jerusalem, you know? Palm Sunday. People were like, yeah, Hardaway's back.
I hate gay people.
A couple months later, it's like, ooh.
Wow. We'll be watching tonight, Spike TV.
Thanks, guys.
10 o'clock. Yep. And next up, one of our favorites, Billy West.
Yeah.
Let's hope he's brought his cancer, Danny. From the number one movie in America, Ninja Mutant Turtle, whatever. Take a quick break. Be right back with Billy West next.
There's more with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaduce coming up on The Adam Carolla Show.
77 The End's Daily Club and Concert Calendar.
Check out these killer shows we announced this week. 107.7 The End welcomes Morrissey to the Paramount Theater Sunday, May 6th. Tickets between $55 and $75 go on sale this Saturday at 11 a.m. There will be an exclusive Endmail presale for that one. 107.7 The End presents Daft Punk with The Rapture at the Walmuth Theater. This one not until Sunday, July 29th. Those tickets, $40 on sale right now at Ticketmaster. Both are all ages.
May I help? Every year, in every season, we hear about disasters that take people's homes and lives. Disasters can strike anywhere. Floods, windstorms, earthquakes, chemical spills, even nuclear power accidents and acts of terrorism are real possibilities for which everyone must prepare. None of us know when or where disaster will strike, but we can be ready, resilient, and safe during emergencies by preparing in the following three ways. 1. Make a plan. Know the hazards in your area. Have an evacuation and communication plan with your family and practice it. 2. Build a kit. A minimum 3-day survival kit at home, in each car, at work, and at each child's school or daycare. And remember your pet's needs as well. 3. Get involved. Learn CPR and first aid. Talk with your neighbors about responding to emergencies in your neighborhood. For complete details, go to 3days3ways.org. This message is brought to you by your local Office of Emergency Management, the American Red Cross, and Singular, the new AT&T.
I've got a hunger, twisting my stomach into knots, that my tongue is tied off.
Thank you.
is the Adam Carolla Show.
If you're from Seattle, give us a call.
Call Adam at 866-901-ADAM.
What if I...
107.7 The End's music news you can use.
Hello, everybody. I'm Sarah, and this is the music news. Unfortunately, I don't have cable TV, but I was thinking of signing up because the new season of the Henry Rollins Show kicks off on IFC, the independent film channel, on April 15th. Henry Rollins, the notoriously opinionated and notably articulate former Black Flag frontman, hosts a weekly program, and this season's guests include musical performances by the Mars Volta, Ryan Adams, and the man, the myth, the legend, Iggy Pop. Talk about cooler than cool. Guests last season featured everyone from Tom York to Dinosaur Jr. to our own morning show host, Adam Carolla, who talked very candidly about how difficult it is to be funny early in the morning.
How do you make that rock? I mean, that would be very challenging.
It's also, there's a sort of traffic cop component of it. It's tough.
What you want to do is free your brain up to the point where it can focus solely on the creative endeavor.
Henry Rollins is also doing a cultural commentary performance with the comedian Janine Garofalo called It's Not a Play and There's No Music. The show will run for 3 nights in New York and then 3 more in L.A. starting April 10th. That's the music news you can use, brought to you by Divers Institute. Looking for 77.
The End. Seattle's Alternative.
Top 40.
Billy West.
And my big goofy wife, Jean. The white Grace Jones.
His wife has got to be, Casey Kasem's wife, is like an 8 foot tall Aryan chick that he never should have got.
I have my Bedouin mountain climbing gear.
He got her with his golden throated voice.
And the things I can do with this nose. Right here on American Job 40.
Well, Billy, congratulations are in order because Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, out as we speak, was number one. And again, I'm so far out of touch with society. When they brought that movie back, when they warmed over that crap casserole from the early 90s, I thought, who is going to pick up a spork and dip into this crock pot? And, well, there you go. I was sitting at Shooter while everyone else was going to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Number one, and not number one on a slow week. Number one to the tune of like 26 mil.
It knocked 300 off the top spot, and it made $162 million in its first 3 weeks.
And worse, jeez, for all the movies that did in a very... great news, mazel tov. Now,
oh, no, that was 300. Correction, that was 300. But Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles did $25 million in the first week.
$25 million. Now, the problem is a few years from now when you're Mark Wahlberg and you're saying, you guys opened third in your opening week? That was like a $100 million budget and big stars. Where who beat you out? Was that The Departed or something? But let me. I can't hear you, Mark. Turtle movie.
Stupid movie that just exists.
They must have had some huge stars in that turtle movie to have beaten you out.
You know what? After 17 years, they
remember that chick from the first season of Survivor. It was kicked off.
Yeah.
She did the voice of Rodan.
Wow.
Who are they?
I don't know who they are.
You don't know
Donatello and...
Right.
But here's the main
Raphael.
Thing. Here's the main thing. It made all
Is
that
Rodan
dough.
In there?
Attention, Hollywood.
Yes.
Attention, you lazy self, absorb MFs.
Don't hold back.
This movie didn't have really any celebrity cavalcade in it. It had Patrick Stewart, which I think... is he rules because he's an orator. He was trained in Shakespeare. He was played this guy who was that type of guy with the sonorous voice and everything. Mm-hmm. He was beautiful. And then the other celeb was, I don't know, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
No. Why did she go to Gellar?
Self-hating Jew? I don't know.
Wow.
What knows, Jill?
By the way, I'm Strasser.
Strasser, yes, you are. And, you know, in other words, so there was no celebrities. The movie made 160-something million.
And how many voices did you... Yeah, the point is you don't need recognizable... You need recognizable faces in your movie,
right,
but
sure.
You don't need recognizable voices.
There was four young voice actors that did the turtles.
I think they do it. Do they do it? Maybe the Patrick Stewart thing, that they do that for the adults that take the little kids so they can go, oh, that's Patrick Stewart.
Yeah,
that's the reason they do it.
Well, I'll tell you why they do it.
They don't need it.
Because otherwise, when somebody says, who's the biggest star in your movie, you're going to have to say Billy West.
Which is huge. Which is
that's
huge.
Why you get Patrick Stewart. Thank you.
How many, Adam's asking, how many voices do you do in the movie?
Oh, I did a couple. Maybe three, but you can never really tell. I did this character called the Jersey Devil, which is this maniacal little red... steaming little creature from another planet, and he wrecks a kitchen over in New Jersey because he's the Jersey Devil.
Give us a little taste
it's
of the Jersey.
Because it's this crazy little...
Hold on. Danny, knock it off. Let him do the Jersey Devil.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, right.
That was just Danny clearing his throat.
And, wow. And that kind of stuff. And then some newscasters and stuff. But I was just... glad to be part of it. An animated feature, you'd think that I, you know, would be kind of like asked to come by.
Well, by law, no animated feature can be released without Billy West getting a phone call.
That's not true anymore.
Really? You do tons.
No, I have to go be a star or even at least second banana on a sitcom so I can go audition for an animated movie. That's how it works.
Is that right?
Is that right?
Yes. You're on Ren and Stimpy, Family Guy, King of the Hill.
That don't mean nothing.
Dude,
nothing in Hollywood.
Every night, the opening night in Hollywood.
I was a pig and a dog in Dr. Dolittle 3. Here's how the pig sounded. I don't think that doctor knows what he's talking about.
How about the dog?
I think the doctor's okay.
I think the dog is okay.
I feel like Cancer Danny could be good sitting in with, like, you know, Roper on a movie. Show giving his opinions about, say, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That would be good, yeah.
Thumbs up.
I'll do Roper. I found this puckish satire dry and slow. I'm giving it a thumbs down. Cancer Danny?
Garden variety. Bean movie. Relegated to the ghetto. Lousy movies.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock.
2 pounds down and 2 tonsils down.
Sandra Bullock has done much better work than this.
She's a dog.
The script
Come
was...
Come on, let's face it, she's a real dog.
Yeah, this was a life...
old to be doing this.
This was a Lifetime movie of the week at best, not a theatrical release.
The lifetime of a mouse. Lifetime of a mouse.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt my own death. But if you're going to do Cancer Danny, you're going to have to also get not just the voice and the deadly terminal disease that I appreciate so greatly, but also the attitude. Could Roper give me the Sandra Bullock questions?
Yes.
Or just any comments?
Maybe you guys should review, I don't know, what's the
Sandra Bullock about? I just want to show him a difference in the way he should go direction-wise.
Got it, okay.
He's
got
the jump voice. Out of the plane without a parachute?
He's got
good
the disease. He's got the voice. He's got the disease. He's got the imminent death.
Yes, I do.
He needs a certain personality change about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about it?
Miss Congeniality 3 was trite and predictable and a dud. I give it a thumbs down.
Yeah, I didn't care for it so much either, but I would bone that chick so fast it'd make her head spin. Always got a comment on boning the leading lady.
Right. Bring it back to you.
Work that in.
Always the hot chick, whether she sucks in the movie or not, you gotta want to have sex with her.
Well, she didn't do any voices in the movie, but, you know.
That's perfect.
That's the point. It made all this dough, and there were no voice stars, no big, huge stars, and it just voice people.
Now, what about, how does the pay work in an animated movie like this?
If there's one stinking live-action actor in it, you make nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they take all the money.
Yeah, they give them $20 million for coming in and going, you know, I'm a frog.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like, so, who was that? Sylvester Stallone?
Charlotte's Web had Julia Roberts and Oprah.
Yeah, I played Charlotte.
Well, Stallone played Charlotte.
Here's another way to bring it back to me. Actually, Charlotte's Web, Debbie Reynolds played Charlotte, and I played Andy the Farmer's Son.
Wow.
It's my first voiceover work.
The original Charlotte's Web.
Ah.
Back from the early,
so you knew
early 70s.
Yes, I did know Paul Lynn.
He played the rat.
Yes, he did.
Templeton the trash rat.
Templeton the trash rat.
What would Paul Lynn sound like if we were reviewing a Sandra Bullock movie?
I'll bet he wouldn't bone her.
No, even though she takes it in the seat, and that's hard to find nowadays.
It may be closer than you think. We need to take a quick break.
Okay, when you come back, do you want to talk to that weasel, Alberto Gonzalez? He's out there waiting to talk. He's pleading his case.
Attorney General?
Yes.
I would like to talk to him. I wouldn't mind talking to Marge Schott or Howard Stern, either, come to think of it. We need to take a break. The news will be here when we come back. Tea.
Yes.
Give a tease.
President Bush had some funny jokes and some not so funny jokes at the correspondence dinner. We'll talk that. We'll talk Yes, we'll talk a little Idol. And are women embarrassed to walk around naked?
All right. Well, maybe even another hit from Cancer Danish Jukebox as well. Billy West. The immensely talented Billy West hanging with us. And Cancer Danny. Danny, you're going to go out and blow a couple of butts and maybe maybe transvestite and then come back in and we'll do the news.
Cancer, only a dream until now.
I got this timer that says I have to be back in 5 minutes for my cigarette. Can I set it for like 12 now?
We got Cancer Danny.
Get a haircut.
We'll take a quick break.
I'm going to be burying my head.
Be back with news with Billy West.
Right in the hall.
So, Cancer Danny, can you smoke and eat and talk on the cell phone and take care of everything you need to do during the break simultaneously?
Yes.
Okay.
I can sit on a muffin. I learned to eat with my ass.
Ah, that's a good trick.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with Cancer Danny next.
There's more with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaduce coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
At Harbor Homes, our trademark is quality, choice, and value for a reason. We make it our top priority to offer more choices and the most flexibility when it comes to personalizing your new home. Find out more by maximizing your browser now and clicking on our banner. New home shopping online at harborhomes.com has never been easier. Enjoy skillful design and quality craftsmanship with intelligent details for ease in everyday living in your new Harbor Home. Offered from the 300s to 500s, many of our carefully planned commuter-friendly neighborhoods feature views, parks, greenbelt home sites, and easy access to recreation. Enjoy entertaining and dramatic living spaces and cooking in your spacious gourmet kitchen featuring stainless steel appliances, hardwood floors, butler's pantry, and much more. Maximize your browser now and click on our banner to request more information. You'll find everything you need for your next new home purchase at harborhomes.com. That's H-A-R-B-O-U-R homes.com. Quality, choice, and value. That's Harbor Homes.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this task and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. Take the photographs and still frames in your mind. Hang it on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Show.
On 107.7 The End.
Corolla Show. And now, Cancer Danny sings the hits.
Don't tell me your girlfriend was hot like me. Don't tell me your girlfriend was a freak like me. Don't you? Don't you? Don't tell me your girlfriend was raw like me with cancer. Don't you? Girlfriend was fun like me, don't you? Don't you?
That's Cancer Danny doing the Pussycat Dolls, don't ya? On the Adam Carolla Show.
Billy West in studio, fresh off.
His go away, we got real girls here. Get out of here.
Number one hit, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, everybody.
Yeah. Yay. Money makes the world go round. Not for me, though.
$5 million plus at the box office this weekend.
But you have to have some real cash. From all the voices you know, I'm looking at your resume right here.
You're the redhead.
A lot of these are network shows that you do the voices on. They may not pay the kind of money like Frasier was getting $1 million a week, but you do a bunch of them. You must be doing all right.
Do you ever hear the words divorce settlement?
No, actually,
I can't hide behind that.
That bitch got all the money he got from being the Honey Nut Cheerios bee.
Yeah, that bitch set me up.
This is uncomfortable. Let's gloss over this and move forward.
Yeah. All right. Can you give me what we're talking about?
I'm a nice guy, though, right? You're a nice guy, no matter what people say and what happens, right?
No.
No. But he's an honest guy.
Yeah. He's an honest guy.
T.
Yes.
The news. Tee it up, baby doll.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on the station right now.
A 2007 radio and television correspondence dinner was held last night. President Bush made a couple of jokes. Here, he makes light of the public outcry against his Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez.
You and the press certainly have had a lot to report lately. Take the current controversy. I have to admit, we really blew the way we let those attorneys go.
Timing!
You know, you botched it when people sympathize with lawyers.
And it reminds me of a bunch of parents watching their kid at a school play. It's like they're practically trying to prop him up from their seats. Like, please don't put your foot in your mouth, honey. Please. Meanwhile, he just has to play the part of a boulder.
Don't mess with Texas.
In the back of the school play, and he usually screws that one up. How much, eventually, when you do
I know,
nothing
you'd
but...
Watch, you'd rather watch Michael Richards than me, but...
But President Bush, when you do nothing but public speaking, don't you have to get good at it eventually? You're in your second term.
No, I didn't even know how to be president.
And what is it with the jokes? I guess we have a sense of humor.
Laugh.
But have you ever felt funnier than when you're watching the president try to do some comedy?
It's awful. I mean, even if someone stood up and a real comedian just said, look, I'll handle a joke. He would just be like, the only joke you ever handled is between your legs.
You had some thoughts on the Alberto Gonzalez. Billy West, you had some thoughts on the Alberto Gonzalez situation.
Oh, well, he's available to be interviewed because he's on every other show now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, defending his job, pleading his case.
Sure. I can't figure out if that guy, he looks like he's like 28. He really looks like some young cousin of yours who's wearing a suit because he's at a funeral.
Yeah, but it's a giant suit. It's too big.
He wears the suit that David Byrne used to wear.
Yeah, right. water removed. There's water at the bottom of the ocean.
Love that jacket.
I know. Well, in entertainment news, the Sanjaya Express continues to roll forward. He was not in the bottom three last night on American Idol. Here is what happened when Ryan Seacrest had to drop the hatchet.
Haley, you sang True Colors. Randy thought it was a little rough. Paula thought you sounded too old-fashioned. Simon thought it was safe and forgettable. Chris, you sang Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic. Randy thought your rhythm was off. Paula liked your tone. Simon thought it was a mess. After that vote...
I'm sorry.
Haley, you are safe.
So Chris Sly, the curly-headed guy with the glasses that's saying every little thing she does is magic.
Wow.
He went home last night. And you pointed out, Danny, that the tenses don't agree in that song.
The tenses in that song do not agree at all.
There's a does and a do?
Yes. Yeah. Well, every little thing he do is not magic.
Every little thing she does is magic. Everything she do just turned me on. I'm sorry you lose me with that.
It's supposed to be Jamaican or something. You know, that's...
Yeah, because that thing couldn't be more soulful.
Yeah, and more white.
In that bee suit.
Well,
see his veins.
Everything he do turned America off, and now he's gone.
When whether it be Paul Simon or Sting, when they get together with the brothers somewhere in their career where they have so much money, they're bored and they're tired of having 8 hours worth of tantric sex every night. They always hook up with some African tribe.
Yeah, is trying to speak the language. You know
what? What is there? Hi. Is there a blowhardier move you can do in your career?
How you guys shizzle? Shizzle my nizzle. Oh, you're just fronting.
Although, to be fair, though, Paul Simon did much better job.
I hear you, brother.
But he's a wimpier guy, and it's hard to get wimpier than Sting.
Here's something else celebrities do when they're bored. They comment on the recovery of other celebrities.
Ah.
That's what I do for a living.
Former cocaine addict Daniel Baldwin.
Yeah, my phone's good.
Bless you. Had some things to say about Britney on Entertainment Tonight.
I did speak with Britney a couple times, so, yeah.
just, I'm so glad that she's doing well and that she's staying sober. It's a great thing. She's very gracious, you know, and very honest. And she was a little fearful, but she's doing the do, you know, so we should all pray for her.
Let me tell you how Daniel Baldwin got Britney Spears on the phone. Yeah, this is Alec.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And what the hell is wrong with that guy's voice?
I don't know, but he's the Tower Records version of Alec. You know, like the paintings, those horrible paintings.
Right.
Like okay, now, Billy West, I know you're divorced now, but back when you were married, did you notice that your wife was embarrassed if she had to walk across the room naked, say, to get to the bathroom? You know, women sometimes grab a towel if they're in their bathing suit or grab a robe.
No, it was an open policy there. You know, I used to run around with my schlong hanging, my stallion ganglia, and I was never embarrassed.
Actually, any bodily function that needs to be done,
right?
Because that's the only room in the house we can smoke in, we'll be in the tiny little bathroom together while one of us is actually doing either function, chatting and smoking. Yeah.
Wow.
Once you get over that first date and like three dates, four dates, and then you fart, it's like everything else is just nothing.
On date three?
Yeah.
Lynetha's number two in the living room. We're that involved.
Oh.
She doesn't even go to the bathroom.
You
don't know many how times.
We're that close. As a matter of fact, we go back to back in the same chamber pot.
Well, that balances you.
We don't. I just do it and then watch Gretchen come down and scream about the dogs and laugh like crazy.
Everything about marriage.
The cigarette butts and the dogs dookie again.
And the show has reached a new low.
A new study out of England finds that one-third of women are embarrassed to walk across the room
because
naked.
They're pasty. I mean, here's the thing about women. Here's the thing about life. Here's all you need to know. When you look good with your shirt off, your shirt is rarely on.
Right.
Right.
When you have big arms, I'll see guys walking through the airport in the middle of winter getting on an international flight in a sleeveless shirt because they have great arms, and it's like, you're going to be on a plane for 13 hours, and then you're going to end up somewhere in Europe, and it's freezing outside. Don't you want to put a shirt on? No, they have great arms. Women that look amazing are in a bikini by a pool, and the people that are tan and look great naked have no problem being naked, and it's the whole Tyra Banks thing. If she looked hot in her one-piecer in Jamaica, she wouldn't be pissed.
Right.
She didn't look hot, thus pissed. Most women don't look great naked, thus they want the light turned
off. That's because those thighs look like Belgian waffles. You just don't want to see them. Not there.
Well, here's an interesting finding. One-third of women are embarrassed to walk naked in front of their partner. 80% of women are embarrassed at the gym or the locker room. In other words, they're more embarrassed in front of other women than in front of their male partner, possibly because other women might be more critical.
Right.
Who funds these studies?
I don't know.
You know, they're like, whoever thought of this, it's like so useless to go do this, though. The last few moments of their life, they're going to want to get those 8 hours back that they spent trying to figure this crap out.
I swear to God, I ran into my old boss, or he was my boss at the time, at the gym in the shower, and we're talking to each other. And there's no way not to look.
Right.
And I was bigger than he was. And I think that cost me money.
Wow.
Really?
I swear to God. I think if he'd have been bigger than me, I'd have gotten...
You found the one guy.
Yes.
And he turned out to be your boss?
Yes.
What are the chances? Right. You see Matt McConaughey cycling down PCH shirtless, not John Goodman. That's
right.
All you need to know. All of a sudden, when you have six-pack abs and great guns, it's always too hot wherever you are. The shirt must come flying off. Wherever you are, the shirt comes flying off. And
fat people are hotter, and they keep their clothes on.
Right.
You pegged me in 5 seconds. We were in Las Vegas, and you were talking to Carrot Top, and he wouldn't tell you anything about whether he was on steroids. Could we make a muscle? He wouldn't do it. So I put a chair out on the stage, jumped up, ripped my shirt off, and made some muscles. And Adam goes... Huh. 5 minutes into the show, Danny's got his shirt off. There's a shocker.
Two-thirds of men say that they like walking around the house naked as much as possible. Two-thirds. And they can't all be in great shape. So I think even men who aren't in perfect condition like walking around naked.
Well, you guys started it because you started focusing on our personality and our sense of humor ever since we opened a Playboy and read turn-ons. Nice smile, great sense of humor, kind eyes. None of those have to do with our stretch marks and huge beer guts. So screw it.
Yeah,
you created this monster. We're just walking around naked with it.
You pay the price for
your
lies.
That's
okay.
Right.
Anna Nicole Smith. Apparently, there is
Anna from the grave. Anna.
He told me the only reverb so I can pretend like I'm in heaven.
Wow, Anna.
You're the only one with reverb. You want to do it backwards?
Yeah. Anna, I know you're in heaven.
Yes.
Hold on.
Hello.
Hold on, Anna. Come over and use my mic. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi.
Anna, do you need reverb?
I can hear
this
you.
Point, is it still worth it, for God's sake?
Is she Anna?
She's a hot Anna. Okay.
Yeah. So it's so hard to hear through solar systems. Did I, like, die or something?
No, sweetie. You're doing fine. As a matter of fact, you're on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, it's good. Great. No, it's beautiful up here, and I feel great for a dead chick with a blue face and messed up blonde hair.
Well, Anna, there was a poll about you on TMZ.com.
There's always been a poll about me. Oh, man.
The poll asked who should play you in a movie. And do you know who beat Tori Spelling and Pam Anderson as the favorite?
I'd like
favorite?
To beat those two.
Yeah, me too.
Who America thinks ought to play you?
Mindy Cohen.
Nice answer.
Facts of Life. That's nice a fat answer. One from Facts of Life.
By the way, they're all the fat one now.
Lindsay Lohan's my pick. As a matter of fact, they got all bummed out when I came up here because they swore when the door opened it would be her and everybody lost a lot of money.
No, Jenny McCarthy. You don't think she could play you?
No. Come on.
Why not?
You know, I'm stupid. She's real smart.
Well, she's a good actress, so she could act stupid.
What? I mean, well, it takes... Look, here's my advice about show business. Told to me a long time ago by a very wise man. Just face if it doesn't work and hold your head up high and, you know...
Anna, I know you're in heaven, but please watch your language.
Wipe your boss off your chin and hold your head up high and just do it.
Anna, yeah. Do you have any more advice from heaven that's clean?
That's the John F. Kennedy. He's trying to put his finger in my light.
Oh, he's up there again. Too?
That pesky John F. Kennedy.
Era, ask not what my manhood can do for you. Ask what you can do for my manhood.
So you're saying John F. Kennedy's making sexual advances?
Sounds like he's molesting her.
Oh, Kennedy's got to be thinking fresh blood, fresh meat.
Yes, fresh blood. You know, are you wet?
Yeah, sure, buddy. You like formaldehyde? I'm nice and wet.
Really, you're spinning into a
all
deep,
men are
dark
alike.
Place.
All men. Do you know who hit on me the other day?
Anna.
God.
God hit on you?
I know. I couldn't believe it either. I'm an atheist.
Well, you did marry
you know
that
what?
Really old guy.
Just the fact that you have a burning bush doesn't mean that God hit on you.
Howard, I died of asphyxiation. That's why my face was cyanotic blue.
Right.
You know when you get electrocuted, asphyxiation? Mm-hmm. Howard K. Asphyxiation.
Right.
Wow. I
always had a thing for them grubby, sneaky little weasels.
Let's move into the realm of the living.
All right.
Before Jack Silver comes in here and pulls your microphone away.
That's who killed me.
Jack Silver killed you.
That'll be an inquirer next week.
Really, how did he do away with you, Anna Nicole?
Needle marks on my arm, and if you connect the dots, which there's nothing else to do up here but do that, it spells Jack Silver.
I hear he bored her to death during an air check.
I don't know if you understand this term, hot clocking.
I know he has all that secret radio language, like they know something that no one else does. It just means speeding up records so you can get more commercials in.
Well, Anna Nicole, one last question. Who do you think? Are you okay, Anna?
Yeah.
Anna, listen.
Instead of cheese.
I just think you should send this message from heaven.
My eyes are flat.
Who do you think should take care of your baby? Who should be the father?
I say Cancer Danny steps in.
I love you, little pretty little baby. Come here. Yeah. Look at this blowhole. Goodbye, baby.
He's
afraid of me.
With easily my most dignified newscast, I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
The interview that little man, that little weasel Gonzalez.
I tried.
We tried. But you know, it's
what
the rhythm took us down the other stream.
What Gonzalez sounds like. What does he sound like?
I sound like this.
Is that what he sounds like?
Yeah, I'm Texan and I'm Mexican.
I like that.
And you've got an assistant, right?
Yes, and I'm coming out here to basically do damage control concerning the handling of the firing of the 8 federal prosecutors, and I'm doing all I can to find out what happened, but I'm not going to resign as Attorney General. And I had no idea what was going on, besides, you know, planning the whole thing. And you can see you're upset with me, Congressman Bonaducci, waiting for me to slip up and make a mistake in my testimony. But, have you guys met? Oh, look. Someone left a window open. It's a fly.
Do the honey nut. Oh, did we get beat the gun? Sorry.
Yeah.
Do the honey nut Cheerios bee as long as you're doing the fly.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm near Alberto Gonzalez's butt.
Let's go out on a high note.
Too late.
By building a time machine and getting that 2 breaks. Billy West, everyone.
Yay!
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1.
And don't forget, Cancer Danny the movie coming out soon. The musical.
I am going to get in line right now.
Tickets. Limited engagement because of imminent death.
Hey, Cancer Danny.
You have reached movie phone. You have selected Cancer Danny, rated PG.
You know, they play the trailer for you over the phone.
Cancer Danny, if people want to get hold of Billy West, how should they do it?
You mean like contacts or like jobs and stuff?
Yeah, BillyWest.com is what I want you to say.
BillyWest.com, please.
All right.
I haven't seen your smiling signature on there yet.
I'm going to be one of your MySpace friends.
But I talk to everybody. I mean, if that's what you want to call talking, I talk to
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you people come in there and they bug you and they laugh.
I answer a minimum between 10 and 100 letters a day every day.
You'll
really
not be disappointed.
You have all those little, you know, like snipers shooting at you from behind the electronic bushes of the
Speaking of talking, perhaps we should continue this off the air so that I may take a break. We are going to do March Madness recycling ads versus shoelaces. They're right too long. Oh, you don't think I can get it up for these two boring subjects? You wait. Talk about a sell.
Way to sell it.
Next on March Madness Madness.
Professional Disc Jockey Hall of Fame.
Today's show,
10 times better than this promo.
DJ W No Name. After Adam Carolla on 107.7 The End.
The Gecko.
Yeah.
This is the Adam Carolla Show on 107.7 The End.
Alternative.
107.7 The End.
Madness on the Adam Carolla Show in second round action. Dirty Laundry by Don Henley.
The song that won't end. First off, I would like to put a steel shanked boot on and kick Don Henley in said scrotum.
Was put out on the curb by recycling commercials.
Perhaps you sons of tards should take some of the money that you're putting toward the radio and television campaign begging all of us to recycle and put some goddamn recycling dumpsters in the apartment because you don't care. Thus, you are hypocrites, and I say, good day!
And dress socks that look like hose?
Every time I put a dress sock on, I can't get my foot into it. It feels like it got shrunk with gamma radiation. How does that work? Why are they always so small? What's with the weird gold toe? What's with the dress socks?
We're taken to the cleaners by shoelaces that are too long.
Can we figure out a shoelace in aught 7 that works? Who's going to do it? And by the way, you people will say, oh, just cut it off, and then you burn it with a Bic, and then you cauterize it, and then yes, but we're living in America!
Now, recycling commercials go up against shoelaces that are too long. It's March Madness Madness on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I'm tying my sweatpants. I'm turning my hat backwards.
Wow.
I don't know why, but when the hat goes backwards, whether you're getting behind the plate or you have a clean shot at the Presidente, either way, or you're in an arm wrestling competition like Over the Top and Stallone's best work to date. When the hat goes on back, you mean business.
Yep.
If I was standing next to a 90-year-old hermaphrodite midget, and he called me out, and we went outside, and I saw him turn his ball cap backward, I would run, because I know that meant it was time for business.
Thank God mine wasn't wearing a ball cap.
Well, the final four, two have advanced already. That's Red Turn Arrows and National Pride. Which other two anger-inducing things will make it to the final four? That's up to you. You're going to go to AdamCarolla.com to vote after you hear what Adam's got to say.
Speaking of AdamCarolla.com, there's also a couple of songs on there that are hysterical, but deemed a little too hot for radio. Has to do with Teresa. That's all I'm going to say.
I got to go.
We heard them yesterday. They were hysterical. One we played on the air where never to play on the air again. And another, just based on the first one and it being twice as filthy as that. Well, we did the play on the air math. But you go to AdamCarolla.com and you can hear both those songs and it is worth a visit. All right.
I think you get a porn fight, say, if you use my name.
Even though they're offensive to me, I still love them because Wordsmith Mike Lynch is such a genius.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we go ahead and zero out the clock and crank up the band. Recycling. First off, here's how you know our government doesn't care about recycling. Their whole campaign was, it's good for the bottle, it's good for the can. I have no idea what that means, by the way. It doesn't make me feel like recycling. It makes me feel like watching copious amounts of gay porn, but it doesn't make me think about recycling. It makes me think about drinking and sneaking up behind Board Op Bill and finishing something that I started a long time ago. It's good for the bottle. It's good for the can. My fist is good for your face. Shut up. And again,
again, the reason why they're not interested in recycling is because you want to know the difference between the things the government is interested in? You can tell. They're interested in parking tickets. Why? There's a meter maid on every corner. As a matter of fact, I'm this close to being assigned my own meter maid. My kids can look forward to a life where they come out of the driveway, high-five their own meter maid, and then he follows them down the hill, and they write them tickets all the way down. They're interested in that, not so interested in filling potholes. Interested in filling windshields with chicken-ass tickets, not potholes, and not recycling either. Why? Because in apartment buildings, at least in Los Angeles, there's no recycling. There's 500 Mexicans living on top of each other in a huge Hispanic pyramid in a place where two white people used to live, but no recycling. Wow. What's the next one? Shoelaces? Too long. Oh, anyone who's played some pickup hoops games knows that when it's time to lace up the high tops, you tie your triple knot, and then you have an extra 4 feet of lace, possibly to hang yourself with, but certainly to come untied. Every time you get one of these games and you're right in the heat of battle, it's like, oh, Chuck, what's up? I got shoes untied, shoes untied, shoes untied. After seeing everyone wrap their stuff around their thigh, they look like Roman gladiators. It goes all the way up their calf and all the way back down, three times around the maypole, and then a triple knot. We have to figure out a way to eat up all the extra lace they give us. Why are they doing this to us? Do the people in the sweatshops hate us that much that they want us to hang ourselves with our own laces? And then when you put on a set of dress shoes, you get a quarter inch of lace. You get two little pieces of macaroni to try to tie together using... I have to... You know what? When I go out, I have to hire an Asian woman to tie my dress shoes. My fingers are too big. I don't need it. Listen, if you manufacture shoes, have a fat guy put the shoe on, cinch it up, and tie it into a bow. If it works, send his ass to my house. I'll put the shoe on, and I'll live happily ever after. I don't need the extra lace. And by the way, is that cheaper for you? Do you save money by wasting more material on my shoes? I'm an American. I'm Adam Carolla, and I'm going to be your next president.
If that doesn't motivate you to hit up AdamCarolla.com and vote, I don't know what will. Shoelaces long enough to hang yourself or too short to tie without the help of an Asian woman that you hire. Or recycling policies and ads. Good for the bottle, good for the can, good for nothing.
What does that mean, good for the bottle?
I think you were foisted by your own retard.
Yes. But is good for the bottle, good for the can, is that a double entendre? Good for the can that you're throwing it in? Or good for your keister? Or
no, I think you can also recycle cans.
I know,
yes,
but
you can also recycle cardboard boxes, right?
So it's good for the bottle, it's good for the can, it's good for your box. Is that what you want to go now? The hell is wrong with
the
you?
The recycling bin, good name for TSV, by the way.
By the way, it's always TSV that takes us down the dirty road.
I didn't mean to. I'm sure there'll be a funny song parody.
No, I'm just saying, when you come up with... a slogan.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be good, not confusing and boring. All right.
It sounds like using like other emergency methods to use the restroom.
Right.
You know,
it's good for the bottle.
Right. If you've never been driving a car and really had to go.
Sounds like you're on a road trip and your buddy won't pull over. We have a quick, speaking of Too Hot, by the way, for broadcast.
This is the only part of the song we can play.
This is the only song of the three.
Go to the website and download the rest of it.
All right. So I have a little tease.
Juju got it in her back door.
Really?
I can't imagine. That's not offensive. I don't get it.
That's not what I hear.
I only hope Pops is listening at 947. He's so proud of me with my journalism degree.
Maybe hand me a stab till my crying boyfriend broke it.
We'll take a quick break and go to AdamCarolla.com to vote and to listen to the Too Hot for Hair song. Quick break, right back after this.
Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
107.7 The End.
There's music to play, places to go, people to see.
Where is it? Where is that?
You and your band want to play on stage at NFest 16?
DeVry University and iamine.com are giving you that chance. Log on to 1077thend.com and click the Battle of the Bands logo, or go to 1077thend.iamine.com. Upload your song or music video, and you and your band may just be on stage for MFest 16.
Where is that?
Season, we hear about disasters that take people's homes and lives. Disasters can strike anywhere. Floods, windstorms, earthquakes, chemical spills, even nuclear power accidents and acts of terrorism are real possibilities for which everyone must prepare. None of us know when or where disaster will strike, but we can be ready, resilient, and safe during emergencies by preparing in the following three ways. 1. Make a plan. Know the hazards in your area. Have an evacuation and communication plan with your family and practice it. 2. Build a kit. A minimum 3-day survival kit at home, in each car, at work, and at each child's school or daycare. And remember your pet's needs as well. 3. Get involved. Learn CPR and first aid. Talk with your neighbors about responding to emergencies in your neighborhood. For complete details, go to 3days3ways.org. This message is brought to you by your local Office of Emergency Management, the American Red Cross, and Singular, the new AT&T.
77 The End, Seattle's alternative.
And Adam Carolla in the morning.
Hey!
Washington.
1077.
The End!
I like it.
Adam Carolla on 1077
The End. Well, that's about it. I want to thank Gus Johnson from CBS Sports doing the play-by-play on the Final Four this Saturday on CBS. Def Rat Guy, go to defratguy.com. Get yourself a shirt.
You did a fine job today. I know he hates me, but he can't hear that I love him. So I forgive him for hating me.
He can feel the vibration.
He can feel the vibes.
He doesn't care. He still hates me.
The treble's up high enough. He can feel it. Kobayashi and Mike Swick.
Don't like that guy.
It's going to be a battle on the 7th in the Octagon. Petros Papadakis, Pros versus Joes. Tonight, 10 o'clock, Spike TV, The Great Billy West. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in theaters as we speak. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
Right now, you're just an a-hole.